Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. Or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 911 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 911 in Plain Sight, William's first production, are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
Did you know most Americans know nothing or very little about the legal system? I am the Rose, Rose Colombo, longtime legal activist, legal coach, legal advocate, and the author of Fight Back Legal Abuse, Irwin Award winner, and also my latest political satire, Obamacare Dinosaurs, Rednecks, and Radicals, a political satire exposing the evil agendas of Obamacare and redistribution of wealth that leaves you with a thought-provoking ending. Will mankind survive, or will the U.S. natural-born citizen become extinct? It's available at Amazon.com. You can also visit my website at www.fightbacklegalabuse.com for more information. So order your copy today and empower yourself with knowledge before injustices come knocking on your back door unexpectedly.
Thank you for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio, where we have a 24/7 chat room where you can come and share what's going on in the world with people of like mind. Anything and everything against the New World Order. Dial 347-324-3704 to catch our live show. Beginning at 9 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time, Monday through Friday till midnight, and 9 to 9 on Saturday and Sunday. Take us to the beach. Take us to the park. Take us on a walk with the dog. Only on Freedomizer Radio.
Hello, everyone. Proof is here. I want to let you know about our latest promotion on our FreedomizerRadio.com website. Our chat client, Bark, BARC.com, is hosting a micro Bitcoin giveaway while supplies last. All you have to do is go to FreedomizerRadio.com, join our chat room, create a screen name, and type to your friends. And some micro bitcoins will fall from the sky. Not only that, the more people that are typing, there will be some random lotteries as well. So just for typing to your friends, you can earn some micro bitcoins. So who knows how long this will last, but join us now, FreedomizerRadio.com.
This is Cindy Lake. Please listen to me on Freedom Talk with Cindy Lake at 5 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on FreedomizerRadio.com. All the issues that are important to you, like Common Core, Agenda 21, Fully Informed Jury Association, 10th Amendment, 2nd Amendment, 4th Amendment, 3rd Amendment, the Constitution. See you at FreedomizerRadio.com, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. See you there.
We'll be right back. Sorry, I started talking in my mute button again. Sorry about that, guys. Anyway, welcome to another great night here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the big kahuna here on Freedomizer, and I want to thank you guys so much for joining our humble abode tonight here. Joining me tonight, she's going to play co-host here with me tonight. I have Terrell from Tampa, regular here on the show. And Terrell, thank you for joining us.
Oh, sure. Love you guys. Hello.
All right. And joining us right now as well, normally I'll open up with a monologue, but since we have another Freedomizer here and it's his day to come in and teach us a few things about vaccines, Alan Phillips from VaccineRights.com as well as NaturalNews.com is hanging out with us right now. Thank you for joining us.
Pleasure to be here, as always, Proof. And Terrell, greetings to you. My hometown, I grew up in Tampa.
Oh, my. Okay. Welcome.
My wife was born there, too.
Oh, my. Okay.
Small world.
I just live here.
Yeah. So what's been the latest and greatest as far as your show, and how's the new time slot treating you?
It's going well. We've smoothed out some of the bugs, I think, and have things rolling smoothly there. Thanks for your patience and help with all of that. And Cheryl, of course, has been instrumental. And Proof, there's just tons of stuff going on all across the board with vaccines. There usually is a lot going on legislatively right now. Colorado has a bill that, if passed, will make it harder for parents to get an exemption there. They want to give parents vaccine education before they can get an exemption. Try one last time
to... If I can interject here, Alan, I saw something in New York that they were considering part of that as well, whereas the kids cannot graduate sixth grade until the parents complete a child-rearing course. And
child,
part of that is teaching them when to get their Gardasil vaccines and things like that.
Well, of course, and we've talked about that before because we don't want any of those boys getting cervical cancer, so
right.
They all have to get their shots.
Based on the GMO foods that we eat, a lot more men are getting breast cancer now.
Yeah, I'm starting to see commercials on TV from law firms doing, I guess, class action suits, and they're talking about male breast growth as being a side effect of certain drugs now that have been given to children, to boys, and so their commercials are out there trying to round up all the victims of that for lawsuits. It's amazing. There's a bill in New York right now that, if passed, will allow children there to consent to vaccines, certain ages to certain vaccines. Just really, really disturbing. And from my point of view, because for among other reasons, because it's blatantly unconstitutional to do that. But as we've discussed in the past, states can pass any law they can get the votes for, because technically a law is not unconstitutional until a court says so. So the oath that legislators all take to uphold their state and the federal constitutions really is meaningless, because they don't get to be the ones to decide officially. Of course, they can certainly consider that question with respect to bills, and their oath would suggest that they have an obligation to do that, but then in the real world, some do and some don't.
So I guess with Terrell's background, of course, she's a nurse, and my question here is that why is it so important to make sure that kids can get shots when they're 7 and 8 years old, when they can't even go to a PG-13 movie?
Oh, because there's
why
a lot more money
to
be made.
To have something that they could be allergic to?
Something that could kill or injure them, permanently disable them. Because there's just not nearly as much money to be made off of movies.
There we go.
I mean, that's a cynical point of view, and that's the money is just one of at least three different layers I see going on with the vaccine agenda. But you don't have to get any further than the follow the money syndrome to see in order to have it make sense, because it certainly doesn't make sense medically. They keep pretending that it does, but that actually backfired recently. There was a study that found that looking at when the doctors tell parents the pro-vaccine stories and about how all that other stuff about how vaccines cause autism and so forth is all just, you know, stupid conspiracy theory stuff or whatever, that parents come away less inclined to vaccinate rather than more inclined. In other words, the strategy is starting to backfire. And this is a really good sign, because this goes to something I've been talking about for months now, that while on the one hand, when they take this all-or-nothing position, vaccines are wonderful, end of story, they get some short-term gain out of that, or certainly they have been over the last several decades. But we're reaching a point now where awareness, and not just awareness in sort of an intellectual sense, but people's experience, their children, they themselves or their children are harmed by vaccines, or somebody they know had a child who was injured or killed by a vaccine. It's the numbers keep going up of these injuries and deaths, and it's starting to affect people more and more directly or indirectly in their own personal lives. And so more and more people are asking questions, looking into this. So now, and I had been saying months ago, why didn't they just give in a little bit, because they would maintain some credibility? By taking this all-or-nothing position, they have no credibility, because it's just not a tenable position. Federal government is paying out $100 million a year to vaccine injury and death. The FDA and CDC tell us that that's only 1 to 10% of what's actually going on out there. Most of it never even gets reported. And so it's just stupid to strategically, even if I agreed with their position or their end goal, I would say, look, don't take an all-or-nothing position. That's not credible. No one's going to believe that. Well, people believe it over the short term, but now we're starting to see that failed strategy turn against them, because parents aren't buying it anymore. More and more of them are saying, you know, that's not realistic, so now I trust you even less. Less and less now, it appears, doctors have this sort of sweeping, everybody just assumes they know everything, end of story. Parents are starting to wise up. Now, this is happening at the same time that a very aggressive pro-vaccine agenda continues to barrel forward, and one of the places where that is happening at an alarming rate is in the state legislatures, with laws being passed. There, a few months ago was the last time I looked, but at that time there were over 100 vaccine bills pending in over 30 states, and it's just enormously active area. So Colorado is trying to pass a law like Washington State, Oregon, and California have already done in the last 3 or 4 years, trying to jump on that bandwagon to make it harder for parents to get exemptions for their kids in school. New York's trying to pass a law allowing kids to consent to vaccines, which, again, is blatantly unconstitutional. The U.S. Supreme Court said over 30 years ago, about 35 years ago now, that children, not even adolescents, can make health care decisions for themselves. The parents have to do that. And the state cannot constitutionally, cannot lawfully pass a law taking away parental authority from all the parents in the state and give it to anybody else, not even another adult. And you certainly can't take it away from parents and give it to children who legally are considered to be incompetent to make important legal decisions. They can't enter into binding contracts. They can't drink or smoke, unless they do it in hiding and nobody catches them. But, I mean, they're, you know, legally can't do that. You can't even, as a young adult at 18, you're not even required. Of course you can, but you're not required to join the military and risk your life for your country. You can volunteer to do that, but you're not required to do it. But at birth, you're required to get a hepatitis B vaccine for a disease you have no risk of getting as a baby unless your mother has hepatitis B. Very, very small percentage of newborns have that risk, and, of course, you can test mothers in advance to find out. but kids have to, newborns have to risk their lives for that, for some disease that they're not even at risk of getting. You know, so it, none of this makes sense medically or scientifically. The only reason people buy into it and go forward is because of the, we've been trained over many, many decades to just blindly obey. And so the majority of us have been doing that. But the tide is turning on this. This is a really interesting time proof. We're starting to see some of this come back to bite them in the butt. So it's moving rapidly on both sides, and that means a train wreck somewhere not too far down the road here, and I'm not sure exactly what that's going to look like or when or where it's going to be, but it's not, you know, you can't keep raising awareness and pushing vaccines down our throats at the same time and have nothing come out of that. So it's a real interesting point in time here on the issue.
Well, I was going to mention here that there's a company, Circassia, they raised $333.5 million for an IPO for allergy shots. So I'm curious to see once they get the stock going and if they can raise enough funding after the stock gets up in price, if they would have more buying power to make sure that everyone could be required to take these shots in just in case you might develop an allergy years from now.
I don't see a light at the end of the tunnel unless we become, enough of us, become legislatively active. I really think, in one sense, there's two real broad pieces to the whole vaccine controversy. The first one is an education piece, understanding that there is a legitimate controversy, getting some information about where the problems lie. There's tremendous amount of corruption and deceit involved in the implementation and maintaining and furthering of current vaccine policy and law. So we have to have a certain amount of information, and we have to get to a place in our own psyches where we actually are able emotionally to consider that what's really going on might really be going on. I mean, I think one of the things that has made it difficult for the vaccine awareness movement to achieve its goals more quickly is that there's a subconscious defense mechanism that prevents people from even considering the possibility that there's anything seriously wrong with vaccines. Because if there is, then we have a pretty dark world with regard to that and other issues that tie into it directly or indirectly. You know, government lies to us. Top people in the pharmaceutical industry are profiting from the death and disability their products cause unnecessarily. You know, that's a dark picture, so to speak, that I'm just very quickly painted there. And I think many people are not in a place emotionally where they can actually be open to the possibility that that would really exist. Nobody would really do that. Come on, don't be ridiculous. And so until we can figure out how to break through that those emotional barriers, it's going to be hard for people to get on board because it's just too radical a shock to their worldviews. It's not an idea that I invented. It's something I had suspicions on in a very general sense, but then found some YouTube videos talking about the 9/11 situation and why is it that when the official 9/11 story so obviously defies basic physics and the basic laws of physics that so many people still buy into the mainstream view. And the reason that these psychologists give us an answer is what I was just describing, a subconscious defense mechanism that's protecting a psychological worldview that sees the world as a much prettier, happier, safer place than it really is. And so until people can get past those psychological barriers, which are a defense mechanism. This one psychologist in these videos said that when it finally clicked for her that the official 9/11 story didn't make sense, she became physically ill. That's how traumatizing it, when reality sunk in for her, that's how traumatizing it was to her psychological worldview. So we have to help people get to a place where they can actually be open to the possibilities that things may not be what we're being told, and that there might actually be people who are crazy enough to deliberately and knowingly and unnecessarily injure and kill innocent children and infants. Because, you know, we've got too many people on the planet anyway. Why not get rid of some and make money at it, you know, at the same time? You know, there's a rationale there. It's just a bit psychotic. So,
well, I'm looking here just through Yahoo to prove a point here. I'm going through Yahoo News, and I just put the word in vaccine. And you see the same articles. Every month they tell you how vaccines are so healthy, and it's like the same publications are putting the same article out month after month, it looks like.
And I think these people over the long term are just shooting themselves in the foot. They're losing credibility. Once a person catches on to the fact that part of this mainstream spiel on vaccines doesn't make sense, then from that point forward, anyone who continues to spout that point of view, especially if they do so repeatedly, then loses their credibility. And that's what's starting to happen. And this has now been documented in at least one recent formal study. And of course, they, you know, when they report on the study, they say, isn't it interesting how when you tell these parents the truth, they still don't believe it? You know, that they still portray the whole thing in the pro-vaccine light. What do we have to do to make all these crazy parents become sane again and go out and get all their vaccines for themselves and their kids? So they're not giving up by any means, but the more they hold on to that, I think the more it's going to backfire. I certainly hope that these articles I've seen recently talking about this study, and I see them as a positive indicator that they finally have stepped over the line. I still think 9/11 is going to ultimately be herald the downfall of the elite. It's going to be one of the pieces, because it's so blatantly obvious once you get past the emotional barriers, mm-hmm. once you're able to actually look at it objectively. It only takes a few seconds to see that story doesn't hold up. You can't have a symmetrical collapse from an asymmetrical damage. And it really is that simple. You can't have a free fall speed into a footprint's own building in any other, by any other means than a controlled demolition. And once you connect with those kind of obvious, in terms of you know, basic Newtonian physics, you know, once you connect with those basic realities, then, you know, we can spend however much hours, days, months, years debating about what really happened and who did it. But once you recognize that the basic physics says that's not true, and you realize then we've been lied to, and it's some, in one manner or another, it's a huge, or whatever you want to call it, scam or whatever. But, you know, once you have one big piece like that fall apart, and I think 9/11 is a prime candidate for that. There's a group of more than 2,500 professional architects and engineers who have all banded together with many other professionals and people around the country who say, we're not buying this bullshit and we want this, you know, brought out in the open and addressed. I just don't see how they can hold that off forever, you know. It's gonna get traction at some point. I don't know how long it'll take, but at some point it's gonna get the traction it needs to be brought out, and it's gonna be real interesting to see what happens. I mean, either heads will roll. Well, one way or another, heads will roll. Either that'll be the trigger for we better collapse the economy now. And distract them with something else. You know, they'll come up. They either will come up with something bigger and worse to keep attention away from that, or You know, either our heads will roll because of that, or their heads will roll because they'll finally be pinned down. But either way, things won't be the same.
Hey, Carol, I know you haven't gotten much in here, but I know you're a nurse, and I'm sure you want to talk vaccines.
I have a – it's not about the vaccines so much, but as the medication they're giving children that's causing the boys to have breasts. Now, my question – I was talking about it last night. My question was this: why didn't they give it to girls? Was this just directed at boys so they could grow breasts, so they could have this problem? I mean –
Yeah, I don't know anything about it. I just, you know, saw it on commercials earlier today, and I don't know if it's a medication that was given to girls and boys, but you wouldn't
want
have
to
the same.
Girl. I mean,
yeah, a girl starts growing breasts, you might not think it's because of the medication, but if a young boy does, you say something's wrong, you know. But so I have no idea. It's a really good question, of course.
The vaccines. The one they were talking about, the flu vaccine for $3,000, I know you heard about that. Do you know how many people may have already gotten this?
Flu vaccine for what?
For $3,000, the flu vaccine.
I have not heard about a $3,000 flu vaccine.
Yeah, me neither.
It's they were giving, you remember proof that you said people, like 28 people were asking you about it? They were giving $3,000.
Oh, that's right, yes. They had a research the other way around, Alan. There's a testing, medical testing company that was paying people up to $3,000 to take this flu shot and stay overnight and administer tests, basically.
So they had to pay that much to get people in there or to get them to sign
something? Yeah, out here, Alan, I don't know if they have this where you're at, but here in Las Vegas, there's like four or five places out here where they pay you to do surveys. Not medically related, but say we have a pretty big-sized market here, especially on the Las Vegas Strip, so they might pay somebody $75 to watch a TV trailer of something that a network or two might be interested in, and then we give our opinions, and then they pay you cash, you're out the door.
Interesting.
But why?
So
why?
What the same concept is, basically, is that a company would pay you three very large to take a flu shot in the arm and stay overnight, and then you go back 2 weeks later and tell them your results, and then they pay you $3,000.
Mm-hmm. I'm tending to think.
Well, I bet you they get a lot of people signing up for that. But I can't figure out why they would offer that much unless they have to, you know, sign a piece of paper saying you might die and we're not responsible. You know, that'd be the only reason I could.
That's probably it.
I could see.
You can believe they signed a paper saying that. Oh, we're paying you $3,000 to die. I would like to know the results of that. I really would. I'm gonna have to check that out. I was wondering, did you know anything about any of the people that took it? Did they make
No,
it?
I sure don't. I have some information about people who have taken already licensed flu vaccines, but have any information about research. That's news to me, and that's very interesting.
I'm looking.
Yeah, I read it on
stuff.
Air. Terrell was here at the time, and people in the because I read the comments sometimes afterwards, and it was flooded with people like, man, I hope they bring it to Jackson, Tennessee, or I hope they bring it to Chattanooga. I hope somebody in Vermont does this, and people are saying where they're from and asking if that company will do those types of research in other cities because they want to be on the list.
I did write that guy too, Proof, and I never got an answer back. I just asked him what was his purpose.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
you had a question, so therefore you're not interested. They only want people that say Where do I go?
If
that wasn't the answer, then they weren't interested.
I mean, it only makes sense, though, because, you know, all the other people who take flu vaccines, the licensed flu vaccines, they're actually having to pay for their participation in the experiment. So, you know, it seems only fair that now they should turn around and pay people who participate in the experiment. Of course, they don't call the rest of it an experiment, but that's the best you could say about it. I could think of a lot worse things to call it, but
a lot of that on television here on direct TV as well. Anyway, about that, I mean, a lot of they sent me a lot of those things for research. We'll pay for your compensate your travel and all of this kind of stuff. Take this weird pill or that weird pill, and I want to know what's in the placebo. So if you're going to give me a placebo, what is it? Has anyone ever said what the placebo is?
Well, there have been studies, vaccine studies, where the control vaccine, for example, they'll give one group of kids the DTP, where they've got all three antigens in there, and then they'll give another group of kids a vaccine with only two of the antigens in there, and then they'll conclude that, you know, the one that had the pertussis and the other one didn't have the pertussis, let's say, you know, one that had the pertussis, and then they'll say, well, there was no difference in the reactions in the two groups, so obviously the pertussis vaccine is safe, you know, because it wasn't in the other one and they all had the same. Well, what about all the ingredients that were in both of them that might be what actually caused the reactions? You know, so it's there are few, if any, genuine placebo-controlled studies on vaccines, although I did hear about one with flu vaccines recently that was one of the few that was actually conducted properly, and they were looking at preteens and teenagers in the flu vaccine, and what they found was that the kids that got the influenza vaccine had between 3 and 4 times the rate of upper respiratory infections compared to the group of kids that didn't get the influenza vaccine. So they were non-influenza infections, but for those of us who use the word flu in kind of a generic sense to mean any illness that has flu-like symptoms, the flu vaccine causes 3 to 4 times the rate of flu compared to not getting the vaccine. And there's research looking at adults that had real similar kinds of information. The Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota reported on data they had that showed if you had a flu vaccine, adults had a flu vaccine 2 years in a row, that it actually lowered protection as opposed to giving more protection. So flu vaccines are counterproductive. Nevertheless, the city of New York saw fit as the city, and this is the first time that I'm aware of anyway, that a city has mandated any vaccine. So it sets a really disturbing precedent, because if we're going to suddenly see cities all over the country deciding that they're going to start mandating vaccines as opposed to that being something that has traditionally happened only at the state level or federal government for federal jurisdictions like military and immigration and so forth. But New York City has mandated flu shots for 6 months through 5 years for anyone, any child attending a city-regulated daycare or preschool. And it's just so bizarre to see them do this following research that shows that children have 3 to 4 times the rate of flu-like illnesses if they have a flu vaccine. So you can't help but think this is just something they're doing to create business for the healthcare community and for more pharmaceutical products. Look, they're going to buy the vaccines, then they're going to get sick and come back to us for even more medicines, which we can give them, and of course they'll have side effects, and so they'll need even more medicines after that. It's just this endless spiral, and if you're lucky and survive all of this, then you'll be spending the rest of your life buying prescription drugs, and you'll be a continuous long-term customer. But when you look at it from a purely kind of nuts and bolts numbers point of view, you know, the healthcare industry is a for-profit industry, and the goal of any for-profit business is to maximize your profits. And so the unspoken goal of the pharmaceutical industry, but clearly, nevertheless, its goal is to have as many people be as sick as possible for as long as possible without dying.
Absolutely.
Because that's how they're going to maximize their profits. And that, to me, is the reason why healthcare should not be a for-profit industry. Now, whether that means we restructure that industry or we restructure our entire society is a separate question. But you can't regulate your way out of that conflict. There's not, you know, just putting regulations in place about who's supposed to do what, where, when, and how doesn't get rid of the underlying conflict. And the pharmaceutical industry is so aggressive in their pursuit of profits that they routinely engage in criminal behavior to maximize their profits. And this is showing up in criminal fines in the order of hundreds of millions of dollars. Even there have even been at least two, if not $3 billion criminal fines. There were 20 fines in an 8-year period that were between, that ranged from $345 million to $3 billion. So when I say this is an industry that routinely engages in criminal behavior, I'm not being I'm not saying that as an analogy or as an exaggeration. That's a literal fact at catastrophic levels. You don't get a criminal fine unless you engage in criminal behavior and you know you're doing it when you do it. It's not an accident. You know, if you accidentally hurt someone, you might be liable in civil court for negligence or something akin to negligence. You know, you didn't do it on purpose, but you're still responsible for it. But you don't get a criminal fine unless you knew what you were doing and you did it anyway. It's sort of a general definition of crime in our legal systems.
Here in Tampa with the pain management, we've had a lot of doctors and a lot of clinics closing because of them just handing out pills, and people knew what doctors were doing this. And that was very disturbing to me because people were getting, of course, addicted to this and taking more than they should. I knew people who were selling their medication, their pain medication, depending on what it was, that oxycodone, all of which I'm allergic to, and I'm so glad I am, you know. It was terrible.
Yeah.
This rash of arrests here because of that.
Yeah, it's really disturbing, the illegal legal drug market.
I don't see them
whipping
the suitcases. They used to deal with the suitcases and bring in caterers from Olive Garden and caterers from these expensive restaurants so people, the doctors, can buy this or get this medication. And I don't see that as much anymore, and I'm glad. Because that just, I work for a doctor's office that did that, and we ate good, too. And that's all just for him to get the pharmaceuticals. Whatever was in that suitcase they were rolling around, the suitcase of poison and death, they should have just had skull and bones on it, on a suitcase as they were rolling it in. Because
yeah,
that's
let's be honest.
It is. It's poison. That's what it is. And so if people like Freedomizer Radio that is getting it out there, herbal things that you can use, to keep them going to the doctor, and you know, they're not going to tell you about these kind of things. I'm so glad for Proof and for his station that we're getting this out with people like yourself that are getting this out, letting people know this kind of stuff so they can fight against it should it come to their state.
Well, and you too, you know, doing your part as well. You know, great to have you aboard.
I love the truth.
Yeah.
I think everyone would. It's not so much it would be a panic if they told us the truth. Just tell us the truth, and we can prepare our own self. We can, you know what I mean? We're grown adults. We know how to take care of our kids. We can prepare. Just tell us the truth.
We can handle it.
A lot of people can't. My husband can't. He can't handle it. He just can't. I don't care what I tell him. I get cursed out. I get called names. You know, when I try to tell him something different or something new, something I'm trying to... He has grandchildren. It's like he doesn't care. I tell him about different vaccines, the things that are in the vaccines. I tell him about things that are going on in the schools, and he just doesn't care. And he has grandchildren. I'm not understanding. It's like, he's almost 70. So I've already lived my life. I've already been through that. I'm thinking, so you've been through revelations already? Really? You have? Tell me about it then. it's to the point where it's like, okay, just going back to sleep. Nothing's happening.
Well, but it's on an unconscious level, it's an emotional threat. You know, you're trying to tell them the world isn't all rosy, and I don't mean this as a put down at all. I've I've been there. You know, I grew up in a standard mainstream meat and potatoes family, and, you know, I used to think anyone who didn't vaccinate was an idiot. So I'm not saying this as a put-down to anyone. I've been there. I know what it's like. But until...
Well, see, tell me this. If you were an MP in the military, such as he was in the Air Force, you did all kind of dirty things like ran drugs, sold drugs for them. When it was time for you to get arrested and your commander comes to you and tells you to get out with the W-37-something, to get out, and he goes in all messed up on mescaline, tells his commander that he's a pretty green something, and he gets out, okay? And then when you tell him about things that's going on in the military that's even worse than what he was doing, he doesn't want to believe it. Are you serious? Look at what you were doing.
Yeah. Well,
and
it's,
this is why I don't understand why
it's a lot to hold, you know? I've got a sister, and she's a wonderful human being. She's intelligent. She's compassionate. And I showed her an article that I had written about vaccines, and I had about 75 references in this article to government statistics, medical literature, you know, most of it mainstream, credible mainstream sources, and talking about all the problems with vaccines. And it's about a 15 or 20 minute read, and she gets through the end of this article and she says, yeah, but most doctors say they're okay, so they're okay. And that was her response. And she did not interact with anything in the article, didn't engage at all, zero, with any of the comments or points I made, didn't try to refute anything, didn't, in any director, obviously. And this was just so confusing to me, but this is why I keep saying the barrier is an emotional one. It's not an intellectual one. This is a woman who, you know, was in advanced classes in high school and went on to college, and she's been was a teacher for many years, and, you know, she's a very, very capable human being. She has all the intelligence, more than enough intelligence to understand the issues, but she's still not able to engage the issue. She's not able to see it or acknowledge it. And so I have to ask, well, why is it that people can't do that? And again, I keep coming back to this idea of that there's an emotional barrier. How do we open that door? And I tell you, the least effective way of opening that door is to hit somebody over the head with a fact. Because as you discovered, as I discovered, it'll bounce right off. So sometimes I think... Go ahead. You got a comment there.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I mean, this is the question we need to carry forward with the vaccine issue, with any of the New World Order stuff. The stuff that is so easy for people to just write off, oh, that's a bunch of conspiracy, you know, wacko stuff or whatever, and then they don't have to think about it or look at it. And the question that we need to carry forward with these issues is, how do we get past, you know, those psychological barriers? And I don't think there's a short answer or a simple answer or a one-size-fits-all answers, but part of it has to do, I think, with asking questions rather than throwing facts. You know, if somebody says, how can you possibly be against vaccines? I mean, they saved us from polio and this, that, and the other. And if you say, oh, no, this is what happened, blah, 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 the typical reaction to that is going to be, well, my point of view, and they may not think it in exactly these words, but my point of view makes sense to me, and you're saying something different, so obviously, you know, yours isn't logical, so I don't even have to look at it. You know, they can rationalize that they don't even need to go to, oh, you poor thing, you're obviously not logical because my view is logical, you know, and their view is logical to them. So if you can ask questions, though, you invite them to figure it out themselves, and people are much able to see something if they figure it out for themselves and if somebody else tells it to them. You know, do you know what percentage of disease declined in the 1900s prior to vaccines? And most people will probably look at you cross-eyed because they don't know what you're talking about. But the point is, asking a question at least has the potential of opening a door. You invite them to come out rather than banging on the door to try and bust it down. They have to open the door from the inside if it's going to open.
Okay, and so what if you get an answer like, I don't care?
That's well, not everybody. Not everybody's going to be able to. We have to invite them to open their door, and some people aren't going to open the door. Some people are only going to be safe if they're with the majority, and the only time they're going to get on board is when enough people have left that they look around and there's nobody there. All of a sudden, they're in the minority. Then they'll come running to us. But there are people. So some people we're just not going to get that way, you know, and maybe not at all. And we shouldn't waste our time so much with those kind of people. Now, if it's a loved one, maybe you want to, you know, keep trying. You want to bring them on board. But the point is that unless somebody is already predisposed, unless they're already receptive, unless they already have a crack in their door, and they're saying, well, okay, I'm going to be cautious here, but tell me what you got. You know, unless they're already willing to hear you, then I think all we can do is invite them to open the door. Now, there may be things we can do that are more effective than other things to, you know, get that invitation. But the point is that we're not going to bang the door down from the outside. And the harder you hit, the more locks they're going to throw on the door to make sure you don't bang it down. But if you invite them out, then they are more inclined to let down their defenses and crack the door and peek out and see what you're talking about. And one of the ways I think we can do that is to ask questions. So I suspect that this is a skill to develop, you know, to learn how to ask questions or the right kind of questions. And it's going to, again, there's not going to be any one-size-fits-all here. So it's something for us to think about and maybe to practice and develop some skill with over time. I used to argue in my early days of exploring this issue, I used to argue with pro-vaccine people all the time, and I found out that the only thing I got out of that was emotional distress. And so I just don't do it anymore, and I'm not suggesting that nobody should do that. In fact, there are some people who make a point of responding to pro-vaccine propaganda in order to refute it and help educate people, and there's definitely a place for that. But I've just reached a place where I said I don't have the emotional fortitude or stamina or constitution, you know, for it. I've got to just put my energy into putting, you know, speaking my truth, and those who are interested or able or ready will come to it. But I've sort of gone to a different place than that, because at a certain point in my own exploration of the issue, I realized that I had enough pieces of the puzzle to draw some reasonable conclusions, like, I don't want to do any more vaccines. That's when I decided to go to law school. I actually went back to school after I was out for 17 years, and I picked law school primarily because of my concern about the vaccine issue. And so I have focused on the legal parts of the issue and the politics parts, because there is thank God, a growing number of medical doctors and other kinds of healthcare professionals who see what's going on, have done their research, or are continually doing research and speaking out and so forth, and those people have the credibility and the credentials and the medical background that I don't have to more authoritatively address those issues. And so I don't ignore them, of course. I'm always trying to learn more, but I've tried to focus more on the legal parts, because there isn't anybody else out there that I know of who's any other attorneys who are out there focused at the level that I am on vaccine rights issues. And so there's a gap there to be filled, and I'm doing what I can to fill that and help people understand what their rights are and aren't with respect to vaccines. You know, a lot of people say, well, I have a constitutional right to decide what to put in my body. Well, that's a wonderful idea, and I wish it were true, but actually the current state of the law, no, that's not entirely true, and that's a problem. And once we recognize that, then we realize, or we're in a position to realize, well, then to ask the next question, well, how do we fix that? You know, how do we get the right? And when I said earlier, there's sort of two main pieces. One is the education, get informed, understand the issue. But the other one is become legislatively active, because where the rubber meets the road, I think, for the most part, is in the state and to a large extent as well the federal legislatures, because there are all these bills that if they get passed into law, and states are passing more laws requiring more children to get more vaccines, new categories of adults to get vaccines, allow pharmacists to administer vaccines, allow children to consent to vaccines. There's just dozens of just crazy laws out there, just looking to, or bills out there, and some of them have become laws that are just furthering this vaccine agenda. And we're either all going to get sick or all going to be killed or something if this keeps going forward. There's just not, you know, we do not have the ability to just absorb endless numbers of vaccines. The amount of harm and damage that's coming from this is just enormous, and it's unnecessary. There are other ways to address infectious disease concerns that are more effective, a fraction of the cost, and don't have side effects of disabling or killing you. So we got to just keep spreading the word. And getting informed is a critical first step, but that alone, unless it were to reach a level where people are marching in the streets, but just learning about it doesn't prevent the pharmaceutical industry from pushing and passing all these laws requiring more and more people to get more and more vaccines. So, yes, we have to become educated, but then we've got to become legislatively active, legislatively aware, be in tune with what's going on in our state and around the country. And people can do that with the one really good way to do that is to go to the NVIC's advocacy portal, and the web address is NVIC, that's for National Vaccine Information Center, NVICAdvocacy.org, and they post bills around the country, vaccine bills, so we can see what's happening in that really critical arena.
I guess I'm just wondering how it is, and going back to what I opened with here, the average person does not realize that a seven-year-old can accept a vaccination. It doesn't matter what you believe in or not believe in. That's the point. And all they have to do is say in a first-grade class that whoever gets a flu shot can have a free ice cream, and the kids can get flu shots, and your rights as a parent are nullified because the kid has the authority.
Well, the only state I know of where they can do that right now is North Carolina. And in North Carolina, a child of any age can consent to some vaccines, and it's just really bizarre.
I thought they were working on that in California, though.
Well, they have a law that lets 12-year-olds, if you're 12 in California, you can get the HPV vaccine. In New York, if the current bill passes, I think it's 12-year-olds will be able to get HPV and hepatitis B vaccines, you know, vaccines for sexually transmitted diseases. And that's how they're trying to connect it. You know, there have been some laws passed in some states, and this is a little outside of my area, but laws passed that will allow pregnant teenagers either to get abortions without their parental consent or to get health care or treatment or whatever. And they're trying to sort of pull off of that trend where it's such a – I don't know. I just have such mixed feelings about those kind of ideas. Once you cross that line and you let a minor consent to their own health care, regardless of what it is,
That's right.
You are saying in effect is that the parents are not competent or fit parents to make decisions for their own child. And the U.S. Supreme Court has said that you are presumed to be a fit parent unless there's a showing otherwise. And anytime a state passes a law that says all the parents in the state, you know, no longer can do this, and if you pass a law that says a child can consent to anything, what you're saying is that all of the parents are unfit to make a decision about that. And that violates your constitutional 14th Amendment due process clause right, your parenting right, because constitutionally we are a fit parent unless somebody shows otherwise. So if they drag you into court, bring in evidence, and yes, here's the psychiatric evaluation, you're crazy, you're no longer a fit parent, or here are the things you've done to abuse or neglect your child, you're not a fit parent, then at that point they can take your parenting authority away from you. But they can't give it to the child. They have to give it to another adult. You give it to social services, the state, or what have you. So all of these these ideas about taking parental authority away and giving it to a child are just so disturbing to me, because it presumes that the parent is unfit without there being any evidence presented. And that just violates fundamental due process rights. And the Supreme Court has had, over the last 100 years, a number of cases that have firmly established our constitutional right to parent our children. And yet states are ignoring that right. And when you let a child consent to a vaccine, you're bypassing the parent's right to claim an exemption. It's not the child that has a right to claim an exemption, it's the parent. And if you're talking about a parent's religious beliefs or possible religious exemption, you're violating the parent's constitutional free exercise of religion, First Amendment rights. If you're talking about a medical exemption, there's a due process right to exercise a medical exemption. But children don't have the right to exercise an exemption for themselves. So how can you give the right to children to consent to a vaccine when the parent is the one that has the right to the exemption? And there's also federal law. This was under the 1986, what's it called, the Vaccine and Childhood Vaccine Injury Act. I don't remember the exact name. But law within that act that requires anyone, any healthcare professional who's administering a vaccine to a child, they have to first give a parent written information, including things such as the risks and benefits and information about the existence of the vaccine injury compensation program, so that they know what to do if something goes wrong and their child has a reaction, and other information. They're required by law to give that. How can you give that to the parent before you vaccinate the child, and yet you can still give the child a vaccine without telling the parent? You can't. So these state laws that allow children to consent to vaccines are violating the federal Childhood Vaccine Injury Act. So all of these things are going on at the same time. In other words, it's not like I came up with one little clever, you know, twist in the law somewhere because of some, you know, case back in 1837 or something. No, there are multiple ways in which these laws are violating the Constitution and federal statutes, and probably state statutory conflicts as well. But let's just look at the federal one. That's the higher legal authority anyway. And I took these series of arguments to my own state senator maybe 3 or 4 years ago now about the law here in North Carolina that I'm so ashamed and embarrassed to be here in North Carolina with a law like that on the books. And my senator looked me in the eye, and I'd written this up in a formal legal memorandum, had done all the research, citing all the, you know, federal court cases and constitutional provisions and state and federal constitutions and so forth and so on. I had 8 different conflicts with state and federal law with this law here in North Carolina. It was really, really bad law, and it was enacted for a reason that's already addressed by other law, so I didn't even need the law in the first place. And my senator's response to me was, oh, I can't help you. We have the University of North Carolina hospitals in our district. And I'm like, what the?
Yeah.
What the heck does that have to do with the fact that this law is unconstitutional and you took an oath to uphold the Constitution? What does it have to do with you fixing this law because you took an oath? And she didn't have an answer for that. I asked her that twice by email, and both times I got, you know, no response. In other words, shut up, don't bother me with the truth, you know, don't bother me with reality, don't bother me with the law.
Yeah.
This is politics, this isn't law. And then she said to me, you know, the other thing she said to me is, well, go talk to Senator so-and-so, he's into that constitutional stuff. Oh, so again, your oath means nothing. You know, we just have to find somebody who actually takes their oath seriously. And I'm sure there are people who take their oath seriously, but you know, good luck with that.
So let me ask you here, are there any states going the opposite way on vaccines where they're requiring, whether it's to reaffirm the age consent or requiring extra testing on vaccines or anything like that?
We had a turnover. We had a turnover in the state legislature here in North Carolina. Had a Republican majority for the first time since sometime shortly after the Civil War or something. It was just this real virtually unprecedented shift, and there was a group of freshman Republicans who were trying to overturn this law. Now, they were not approaching it on the vaccine issue, and the law doesn't even specify, doesn't even use the word immunization or vaccines. It referred to children can consent, and it had a list of things they can consent to, and one of the things is something like can have medical treatment for prevention of infectious disease, something like that, you know, which is obviously vaccines. But they were looking at it probably on a moral level. You know, children should not be consenting to their own health care kind of thing. And unfortunately, I didn't realize they were fighting it until just before they ran out of time. And there was actually vigorous defense of this law. And I was so disappointed that I hadn't connected with these people earlier, because I had ammunition they could have used, and you know, these constitutional violations and things. And the most important piece, that the reason the people defending this law think they need the law is already covered by other law. So the real reason this law was passed was so that doctors could just bypass parents and go dispense medical treatment. Now, it wasn't that children can consent to anything. It was a list. But, you know, once you open that door, it's a slippery slope. Once you let children consent to anything, well, they can consent to that. I guess they can consent to this. I mean, where do you draw the line? And it's just a slope that should not be there at all. So because of the way the system works here in North Carolina, we can't bring it up for another almost 2 years now, unless it were something that somebody were going to address in emergency legislation, and I just don't see this as an issue that's going to get tackled that way, or tacked on to another bill or something. But because of the way the system works here, and I don't understand it well enough to give it, to explain it in any detail, but there's now we got to wait another couple years before we can really address this head on. But there are some bills pending. I've really hit the dark side because that's the bigger side legislatively right now. But there are some bills pending that, if passed, will allow greater freedom of choice. Oregon actually has a law prohibiting hospitals from mandating flu shots for their employees. The only state in the country that has a law like that, as far as I know. There are probably at least two or three states that have laws mandating flu shots for healthcare workers, and every state where they're not mandating it, there are hospitals that are mandating it just as a company policy thing anyway. So the mandates are spreading rapidly, whether by law or by company policy on that front. But at least two states, Wisconsin and Michigan, I believe, have bills that would prohibit mandating flu shots for healthcare workers if they can get passed. And the research is so profoundly in favor of a law that would prohibit mandating the shots, that if we can educate the legislators and find enough of them who are not already bought and paid for by the pharmaceutical industry, then maybe we've got a forgive the horrible pun, but maybe we've got a shot at it. So in a couple of states. But, you know, we need to be doing that all over the country, and along with I made a list at one point. It's been probably 2 or 3 years ago now, but I came up with over a dozen different legislative agenda items relating to vaccines, that most of them probably apply in most states. Broad, each one of them a broad issue that needs to be addressed, that there needs to be legislation in place saying, you know, we have this or that or the other right to establish some sort of clear objectivity and right for people to make informed choices where vaccines are concerned. The list is on my website if anybody wants to go to look at it at vaccinerights.com. Just look for the link for legislative projects and legislative agenda items. But we have our work cut out for us, you know.
Well, I'm just hoping that eventually we can get some people in that want to go the opposite route, though, because, like we were saying earlier, that 9.5 out of 10 articles about vaccines in a lamestream or dinosaur media are about how you and I are crackpots.
You know, and I've taken the position, whether ultimately for better or worse, people can, you know, debate, but I've taken the position that I'm just not going to invest any energy worrying about that or fighting that. You know, the more you fight that in one sense, you're actually giving them credibility. We just need to keep, because first of all, people are moving away from mainstream media anyway. The alternative media is gaining more and more ground. People are going to the internet more for their information, more and less to the TV. And they just don't have control yet, anyway, of the internet in a way that they can restrict access in any comprehensive sense, anyway, to the information we're providing. So I say we just let, in that respect, nature take its course, because they're already coming our direction. And we are on a more equal platform on the internet. And there certainly are things that can be done and are being done to undermine what we do at every level. But it just doesn't hold water. They keep taking this all-or-nothing position. You know, the vaccines are fine, end of story. And it's just not credible. It's not holding up. So people will figure it out. I almost want to say let them talk as loud as they want to. Let's get out of their way. Let's give them as much room and space to show what idiots they are. Because the approach they take, they never back it, almost never back it with research. And, of course, the medical publishing research industry is a whole other source of corruption there, too. But I almost want to say, let's just get out of the way and let them talk all they want to, because they're saying things that don't hold up to scrutiny. And the people who emotionally rely on identifying with the mainstream, they're never going to hear us. They're only going to come to us when they realize they're in a minority. But that's not a majority of people, I don't think. Or if it is, I think that majority is shifting. More and more people are seeing problems and willing to think for themselves. And I think there's a snowball effect here, Proof. We've packed the seed snowball and it's rolling down the hill here. So they're doing everything they can to shatter the snowball before it picks up any more snow. But it's rolling downhill already, and it's gathering weight as it goes. And there's going to be a critical mass point where we're going to get to a certain point where the spread of awareness and concern and so forth about the issue is going to, over a short period of time, grow rapidly. I think we're approaching that critical mass point. There have been polls. There were polls as far back as, I think, around 2010, if I'm not mistaken, but very recent years, that showed that over 50% of the parents polled said they had some concern or another, one level of concern or another, indicating they had some level of awareness about problems with vaccines. Now, over 50%. Now, that doesn't yet reflect in 50% of parents around the country asking for exemptions. But it's a step in the direction. And the more ground we get, the more desperate the other side gets, and the more outlandish and absurd, and if it were about something that weren't as deadly and horrifying in terms of the results, you'd have to laugh at it. The more desperate they get, the more extreme they are in their positions, and the less credible that is. The more extreme they get, the more rude and scathing and so forth. You know, some people feed on that and buy into it.
Is that the same reason why the Democratic congressmen and senators had a 15-hour debate? No, not a debate, because it's one-sided, on climate change.
One side, 15
hours. It's like
holding
an all-nighter on C-SPAN so they can tell more people about climate change. They think they're winning.
Well, it's all about appearances.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people, we're still at the level where most people listen to what they're saying and respond to that rather than taking a step back and saying, what is the image they're trying to create here by saying what they're saying? you know, what is the what's the end goal here? You know, politicians don't go on TV without having an agenda, a goal, and a technique in mind for achieving that. And they may or may not be particularly effective with respect to their agenda or goal. And that's not to say that there's never anybody who just speaks from the heart or speaks from, you know, truth as they see it and hopes to persuade people. But, you know as well or better than I do, that's just not the way the real world works. The real world works that somebody who's in control has a predetermined outcome, and then they set things up to support that outcome. It's like the old, let's create a problem so that we can get people to invest in our solution. You know, let's set up Obamacare so it doesn't work. Then they'll accept single payer, because they never would have accepted that if we started out with that. Now, I don't know for sure if that's what's happening, but it's certainly one of the theories floating around out there, and it's a plausible one.
That's their theory. So, yeah, they have to make this fail on purpose.
Right. It's a plausible.
Carol Chazelle, too, she's a nurse.
It's a plausible theory, but the point is that there's just an amazing amount and level of control that's being exerted, and then it's all has a veneer put on it to make it look like something else and to keep us all arguing with each other and distracted so we never see what's really going on. You know, what do you do about that? I'm not real sure. I have mixed feelings. I don't know that we can solve the vaccine problem by being legislatively active, but we certainly don't solve it by allowing the pro-vaccine legislation agenda to go forward. So we need to fight that to stop that in its tracks and then to move the informed choice agenda forward. And along with that, I think, is coming more and more exposure of what's really going on. Now, do they have a plan B? You know, maybe so. I don't know. But we just need to, you know, failure is not an option here. You know, just saying, well, we can't win this, so I guess I'll just go get the vaccines. You know, that's not an option for me, and it's not an option for a growing number of other people, too. So we've got to push forward with this.
Well, it's the same essence with the genetically modified foods, and now I don't know if you saw this. I don't know if you watched The Simpsons or not, but The Simpsons spent their show this past Sunday talking about Monsanto.
Oh. Criticizing them, I hope?
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah, I love The Simpsons.
So, we wouldn't have seen this a few years ago, and I don't know what's been up with The Simpsons, but they even had an episode with Homer and Marge wearing Google Glass.
Google Glass.
Yes.
I'm not sure I know what
that
is.
Are you familiar with that?
I don't think so.
Carol, are you familiar with Google Glass? Maybe she left us or she's on mute. But anyway, it's a pair of glasses that are a few thousand dollars. And what this does is while you're wearing your glasses, your eye movement will pull up your internet for you, and you'll be able to read the internet off your glasses right in front of your eyes.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. You could hear me.
Okay. Go ahead, Carol.
Yeah, that's what it is, though. I don't want any myself.
Seems really dangerous to me, you know, if somebody unless you're standing still or sitting somewhere, if you're moving and you're, you know, looking at your internet there in front of you, that just, I mean, it strikes me as interesting, but potentially.
Well, we have a lot of stuff on Futurama with this kind of too now. Futurama shows you a lot.
Yeah.
That cartoon, that shows you a lot. They show that as well. As well as trying to predict crime before it happens.
But the thing with Google Glass, Alan, is that there is facial recognition software built in. So if you went into a bar and you were single, you can see who's married and who's single by checking out their Facebook profiles before you approach them.
What? Wait a minute. Who? Wait a minute.
Isn't it easier just to look and see if they're wearing a ring or not?
Just ask them. God.
Oh, no, because you could just scan people, and if people have, if it's dark in a club and you can't see a finger because they're holding a drink, then...
Oh.
Then you just have to buy him a drink for the other hand, I guess, or something. I don't know. But it just seems like an awfully expensive way to find out if somebody's single. But it's sort of interesting, that the idea that you could sort of immediately get information about people, you know, on the spot like that.
Oh, that's too invasive.
Well, that's why you paid several thousand dollars for this Google Glass.
Yeah, made it work. Certain people can't afford it. That's very good.
Well, when it comes down to $100, maybe I'll look at it. But
oh, no. Really? You'd be interested in that?
Not for the purpose that Proof just described it. I don't know. I'd have to look at it and see if it makes sense. You know, it's like as computing power got smaller and smaller, you know, and people now can get on the Internet on their smartphones, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm just old enough that my eyes won't let me look at a screen that size and see anything. And, you know, I don't have any interest in trying to watch TV, you know, on an iPod. Now, my son has an iPod, and he loves it. So, great. Your eyes are younger than mine. Go for it, kid. But, you know, so I'm not sure whether something – I pulled this up while you were talking about it, Proof, and if it's just – it looks like it's a little tiny thing up in, you know, one corner of one lens of your glasses.
Yeah.
And that looks way too small for me, even that close to your face. I'm not sure how much you could see at a time on there, but.
When I was in medical school in 2007, my teacher mentioned, wouldn't it be fun to have be able to direct the Internet through your eyes? And I'm looking at him, I'm thinking, what do you know that I don't know? And I'm thinking, are you really interested in that? Is something implanted in your eye? And he was talking about this way back then. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, you know about something I don't. He's smart. He's a real smart teacher. He taught us some, you know, a whole lot more than what was in the books. And I just was wondering how far Google's going to go with this. Are they really going to put it in the eye? Are you going to be walking around like some cyborg? And, wow.
Well, where there's a market, there's somebody who will create the product, so.
Yeah.
Watch, you're going to have it about 2 years. I'm just guessing. I'm speculation negative right now. There's going to be a Google monocle, watch.
Well, they can have it.
Well, that's
it.
Interesting, because you were saying that, Proof. I was saying, well, what if you don't have to wear glasses? Are you going to have to get, you know, two pane glasses because one pane has this little Internet thing in it? Even if you don't wear glasses. So you sort of answered my question there, the Google monocle.
But would it not ruin your eyesight being on one eye? I mean, wouldn't it strain that eye? Would you think, I mean...
Well, they'll have the Halloween version, which is really just in the form of an eye patch. So, you know, every year for Halloween you can dress up as a pirate and you'll have your Internet on one eye.
Oh, yeah. Uh-oh. No. No, that's too much right there.
I think the only thing I can really speculate on about the future of electronics is that whatever it is, it's going to be things that we don't even think of yet. And just leave it at that.
Hey, I know what I was going to ask you, Alan. Going back to the Obamacare, they actually said that Harry Reid said that, or was it Joe Biden, one of them two, said that Obamacare gives people the opportunity, like a single mom who had to work to pay for health care, now she can quit her job because she has Obamacare. So they were saying that if you have Obamacare, you don't have to work your job if you're a single mom, because everything now would be handed to you, I suppose. I don't know if that's the way they want to try and help the unemployment rate, because if people aren't in the market for a job, then they don't count towards the rolls. That would be an odd way to attack that.
Well, the question is, what is he hoping to achieve by saying something like that? and not what does he really mean by that, because what he means by that is whatever it is he's trying to achieve, which may or may not have anything to do with what he just said. I mean, that sounds to me like a way to encourage poor people to vote for you, you know, you can, or people to become, it's just, that doesn't make any sense at all on the surface. I mean, before Obamacare, if you didn't have a job, you would qualify for Medicaid and you could get health care that way. And if you got a job and made the mistake of making enough money to put you out just out of qualifying, then you would end up not qualifying for Medicaid, but you would not be able to afford insurance to replace it. So there was this really, and I speak from personal experience on this. I went through a time in my life when I was very poor. I'm only poor now, but I used to be very poor, and have been a full-time single parent myself for 10 years. And in the early days, I was working, but not making very much money, and my kid was on Medicaid for a little while. And then I got my business running a little better, was so proud that I'd finally gotten off of that. You know, when you're a parent, you're glad to have the help if you need it. And I was embarrassed about it, but I was glad to have it, but I did get off of it. But then all of a sudden, now that I'm better off, I'm worse off. You know, it was not a net gain. So it's just really,
that's
you
right.
know, frustrating, if not disturbing, how that works. Now, I don't really personally care about health insurance at all. I do not want health insurance. Obamacare has, I don't want to get off on another tangent here, but it has a religious exemption built into the individual mandate, and what qualifies under the Constitution is very, very broad, but the language they use in the statutes is blatantly unconstitutional, refers to having to be a member of an organized religion, which is just not what the First Amendment and the federal courts interpreting the First Amendment have told us. So there's yet another thing to add to the list of the many ways that Obamacare violates the Constitution. But I don't want anything to do with health care unless it's going to cover real health care, like something you get from a naturopath or a chiropractor or an acupuncturist or a homeopath or somebody who actually approaches health care from the perspective of let's find out what's really wrong and let's fix that rather than just treat the symptoms for the rest of your life so we can maximize, you know, profits like the pharmaceutical industry does. It's not to say that there are no useful pharmaceuticals, but the larger overall structure and functioning is of the healthcare system is very dysfunctional, and Obamacare does not fix the underlying dysfunction. It exacerbates it. It makes it worse. So I'm all for everybody having access to true, genuine health care, but Obamacare is not the fix. And it really seems kind of silly to me now in one sense, and silly is a polite word for it. If we're going to go from a system where everybody doesn't have access to health care and we're going to move to a system where everybody does have access to health care, one of two things has to happen. Either the cost of health care has to be cut drastically, and we know that's not going to happen, or a lot of people are going to have to pay more for health care to cover the cost of those who are poor and can't afford it. So why people seem to be so surprised and shocked now that their health insurance costs have gone up under Obamacare, you know, I mean, when Obama promised one thing and we got something else, okay, people are not bad or wrong for believing what they were told, although in this day and age, when do you ever believe a politician, you know, when they're trying to get reelected? But at any rate, the money had to come from somewhere. You know it's not going to come from the poor because they don't have any money. You know it's not going to come from the rich because they didn't get rich by paying anybody else anything. So it's going to come from the middle class. So all of us in the middle, you know, got hit with that.
That's right.
Or all of those in the middle. I'm not sure if I'm there or not, actually. But everybody in the middle class had to get hit with it. There was just nowhere else for the money to come from. So we shouldn't be really too surprised when, you know, all of that nonsense about, oh, you'll be able to keep everything you have or it'll even cost you less or whatever. You know, where did you get your numbers from, you know?
they had something about a grandfathering in, because I got to keep my doctor and all, but I'm paying $111 a month for my Part B, and I had to pay an extra $40-something dollars for dental because they don't cover certain parts of dental.
Mm-hmm.
So what is this grandfathering in type? I didn't even look into it. My husband was telling me about it. Oh, it's because you're grandfathered in. That's why you got to keep your doctor.
Well, I would be mildly interested in catastrophic coverage, but I don't have health insurance. I've never been able to afford it, and I really don't want it because it's not going to cover the care I want anyway. And I realize that leaves me vulnerable, but the only kind of coverage I'm interested in is some sort of catastrophic coverage whenever I make enough money to afford it.
Mm-hmm.
And I resent the heck out of being told that I have to get it, and I don't believe for a second that the Supreme Court made a legally correct decision. I think it was a purely political decision. The law itself said it's not a tax, and the court has authority to interpret the law, but not to reinvent the law.
Mm.
So I just don't see how they can rationalize that it was constitutional to do that. I think somebody got an email saying, you know, you vote for this or your children will have a horrible accident. And they said, okay. And I mean, I'm not asserting that as a theory, conspiracy theory or fact. I'm just using that as a metaphor, whether literally or otherwise. That's the only kind of thing that I can imagine causing someone to come out with a ruling like that. But to be fair, I have not read and studied the ruling on the case. Because sometimes courts come out with the right decision even when it's not the decision that we like, but it's the right decision legally. Like there was a case in South Carolina a couple years ago where a nurse went to court over the flu shot. I have a constitutional right to decide what goes in my body. And when I heard about that case, I just kind of cringed because on the one hand, it's like, well, I hope you win this, but you can't win this based on my understanding of the law. I wish you could win it, and I hope I'm wrong.
You'll take it
but
a
I don't,
lot.
I wouldn't take a case like that to court because I don't think it can win. And I'm sorry to say I was right. She lost the case. But it helped underscore or reaffirm for me my understanding of the law that much as I think we should have that right, the practical reality is that we don't. And we should be very concerned about that. There's an organization called parentalrights.org. They want to get an amendment to the Constitution establishing in a more direct way parental authority and parental rights. I think that's a great idea. It's you know, you got just as good a chance as catching the next shuttle to the moon as you do passing a new amendment to the Constitution. It's an enormously difficult thing to do, but and while the Supreme Court, as I said earlier, has a series of rulings that have affirmed and established our right to parent, there's nothing in the Constitution that says you have parental rights. The court has interpreted the 14th Amendment Due Process Clause as including or conveying parental rights. But those rights are being whittled away by laws being passed around the country, not just with vaccines, but other issues. And then there's this United Nations thing going on where they're trying to co-opt our parental rights from that level and that perspective, which is really disturbing. So there's a lot of work being done to try and take our children away from us, essentially, at least our rights. And so we should be very concerned. So it would be great to get a constitutional amendment passed establishing at that level and in that way our parental rights and authority as parents. That might be enough to knock out all of the mandatory vaccine laws. Can't say for sure, but it would have a possibility.
Right. Well, I know it's getting late for you out there, Alan, and I know that we've gone commercial free thus far, so I wanted to give you a couple minutes and plug anything and everything you want to plug, and then we're going to move along here.
Yeah, okay. Well, thanks for, as always, Proof. It's always an honor and a pleasure to be here with you. We've been doing this a while, and I continue to be very grateful for having the opportunity to share my views and thoughts and help people with this. People can find me and my contact information at vaccinerights.com. There's an ebook available there, but also on Freedomizer Radio. Go to the freedomizerradio.com and scroll down. A ebook called The Authoritative Guide to Vaccine Legal Exemptions. The only document anywhere that goes in-depth talking about your right to refuse vaccines in over a dozen different contexts and subcontexts. Schools and college and daycare, yes, but also military families and members in military schools, immigration includes foreign adoption, healthcare workers, and just many, many different situations addressed there. And when you purchase the ebook and go to Freedomizer Radio to and follow the link there, when you buy the ebook, you'll not only have information that you won't get anywhere else, and written by myself, an attorney with now many years of experience working with clients and other attorneys all over the country on these issues. But you also help in a small but important way to subsidize the work that happens at Freedomizer Radio and my work on and off of Freedomizer Radio. All of us with this radio devote an enormous amount of time that we do, that we volunteer, to bring to you information and awareness and discussions and your views and questions as well. And you help all of us to continue to be able to do that. So buying the ebook will help you and it'll help us. And so I encourage folks to do that. And Proof, I'll see you next month. But in the meantime, I'm hosting Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. right here on Freedomizer Radio every Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific time. And folks can call in there with their questions or comments about vaccines and vaccine rights. And then the very last Wednesday of the month on that show, Debbie Brook comes in, founder of Homeopathy World Community, talking about primarily homeopathy issues. So thanks again, Proof. Terrific being with you as always. Terrell, great making your acquaintance. Hope to catch you again very soon.
Yes, be waiting for you next month.
All right, and you guys take care. Have a great rest of your night.
All right, thank you. All right, Terrell, we're going to take a time out here, and when we come back, we have a bunch of news to go over, and okay. I'm sure some calls will come our direction, too. We can definitely take a few tonight. The number is 347-324-3704. So stay tuned. Give us a few minutes. We'll be right back.
Greetings. This is Blake the Eccentric, and I want to invite you to check out my new show on Freedomizer Radio, The Eccentric Perspective. It's sort of a red pill, blue pill, going down the rabbit hole kind of show, featuring outside-the-box politics, philosophy, and gonzo journalism. But be warned, with knowledge comes responsibility, and you might not see the world the same way again. As I will attempt to open your mind, speak to your common sense, and challenge your critical thinking skills. So please join me Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday from noon to 1:30 Pacific Time. Once again, that's Eccentric Perspective, only on Freedomizer Radio.
Shalom, and praises to the Father. More and more, we see the lies and the deceptions of the world, where it should be obvious we are in a spiritual battle. So I'd like to invite you to tune into the Sound Doctrine Ministries Fellowship Program right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network, where we will reason together according to the Holy Scriptures. Also, blessing you with an occasional guest, our spiritual common sense commentary, and spiritual uplifting songs that give praises to our Father. You can call in and speak to our host, or just listen to the show at 347-324-3704 every Tuesday and Saturday, noon Pacific Standard Time, 2 p.m. Central, right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network. Or you can tune into our chat room at freedomizerradio.com. Blessings and peace to your heart.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance, available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
I am an autonomous government.
Does the media ever deceive the public?
A white plane, a very big jet, was flying an unusual pattern near the White House over Lafayette Park. Very slowly, it made one circle and then...
Are the media and their sources trustworthy?
New York State and New Jersey will get their first doses of the swine flu vaccine.
The H1N1 virus has made thousands of people across the country sick. Many have died. And some worry that it could grow into a full-blown pandemic.
Where does our mainstream media get their news? All this enjoyment is brought to you by all the things sweetened with NutraSweet.
There's a reason why we want to own these guns.
We're going to have to come together and take meaningful action to prevent more tragedies like this.
That was President Obama Friday suggesting it is now time to reopen the national debate on gun control.
The media tends to march in lockstep with the government.
Who is responsible when the media fabricates the news?
When the public is constantly fed messages that are potentially leading us into a war that may not be necessary, it's not fair to the American people, and it's not fair to journalism, because the truth isn't being told here. We found out that CNN International is actually making money from the Bahrain regime. They are a customer of Bahrain. Bahrain is paying CNN International to create content that shows Bahrain in a favorable light, to then air that content on CNN International.
Join us online at williamlewisfilms.com. That's williamlewisfilms.com.
All right, we are back. Proof is here. And sorry, Terrell, are you there with us?
Yes, here I am.
Okay, just making sure. So we're a little past the halfway mark of the show, and thanks for all your good questions there with the good attorney there, Alan Phillips.
Oh, yeah, it was quite interesting. I just really wanted to know about that risk at all. I was quite interested and wondered why they only gave it to boys.
Hey, Ron in San Diego wants to say hi. You know Ron, I hope.
Yeah, hi, Ron.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, I'm fine. And yourself?
Oh, pretty good. I've been working part-time, and I was working on our Twitter feed earlier, and I've been taking this social media class provided by the state of California, and this guy's teaching me how to fine-tune all your, especially your Twitter and Facebook. So I've been working on our Twitter feed, and we've got some lists on there now. So I'm going to be... Yeah, I didn't know how to use Lyft, but he told me how to use it, so I've got a couple of feeds that will probably be good for our network.
Okay, sounds interesting.
Yeah, I found out a lot about my own Facebook page personally. I've gotten rid of a lot of my trolls.
Oh, and so how do you get those?
Well, he explained, I know how to do it. He just went in to step all the settings. And he explained each step. He comes from the IT. The teacher is he was an IT guy for years, and he's a photographer. And it's a free class provided by the unemployment, the career center, they call it. My unemployment's out, but Sarah had been taking the classes. She told me about it, so I'm signed up, and I'm going to take everything I can and just take advantage of it. And he's showing you all kind of ways, especially for LinkedIn, because I can use LinkedIn as a resume.
But I didn't know you get trolls on Facebook. Wait a minute. Proof you had trolls on Facebook?
You did what on Facebook? I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you. Trolls.
I heard him say he got rid of a lot of the trolls. Well, how did they get on your Facebook?
It's hard to explain, but he showed me how to do it, and I went in and looked. You know, and I just tweaked the settings a little bit. And I had one person that was tagging me in something. He's teaching us how to make our Facebook page so it'll look good if an employer checks on it. But while he's in there, he said, now here's some other things you can do to fine-tune, you know, lock it, what he calls locking it down.
Oh, I see.
So it's, you know, yeah, control the information across it, yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
I deleted my page. I just can't be bothered anymore.
Yeah. Well, I use a lot of the social media for my own purposes, and I do photography and 3D art, so I'm doing it to promote, you know, my artistic stuff. So.
But,
you know, while I was in there, I said, hey, how do you use that list in Twitter, and what can I do to lock it down? And I thought about our own Twitter feed, so I've been fine-tuning our own Twitter feed so it's relevant to what we do.
Okay,
you know,
that sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay, much luck with that.
Yeah, I've been in it today, and I made a few lists and just kind of looked at some of the settings and making sure that we're, you know.
Well, I'm very interested in learning. Obviously, when we have a big radio network like we do, that's a key component. It's social media. So you and I and our listening audience have a lot of things in common, but the average person doesn't know Freedomizer yet from a hole in the ground. So we have to go make those changes. So if you want to teach me once you get to a point where you know what you're doing, I'm interested. I don't live in the California area, so I don't get free social media and resume help and things like that to my
Well,
knowledge.
You know, Sarah was the one to find out when she got out here. She started taking advantage of everything she could to find her own work, you know.
Right.
And she was, me and her talked back and forth, and, you know, we've been out and had it, you know, ate together and went to Ocean Beach and just kind of got to know her. And so she said, well, did you know about these classes, you know, these computer classes at the course? I said, no, I never really thought about it. And so she's been in there taking a typing class, and she was in the social media class with me. And so I went in there, and I met the instructor, and he's a real cool guy. He's a photographer also. So we're, like, on the same wavelength, you know, talking about that kind of stuff. And we were talking about Mosaic and way back in the day when the Internet first broke out. And so, yeah, he's really good, and he's showing us different little things we can do to keep your Facebook page locked down and keep, you know, crap off of it. And so I was asking about the Twitter, and so it'll work on my own personal Twitter, but I said, what can I do on Freedomizers to make ours more relevant? So I've been in there and just kind of, and maybe we can get a better audience.
Well, I don't know if you saw this, Ron, but one of the things that we have on our FreedomizerRadio.com website now is we have a section. We have a Facebook business page, so if you're on Spybook, just go up on top and put in Freedomizer Radio and like our
page.
And on the bottom right, there is news. And if I refresh, if you look in the bottom right corner, there is some news articles that I've been reading and waiting to cover today. And and so I think that that helps.
Yeah. Well, when I found out how to...
Actually, not on the bottom. It's on top now, actually. There's the... I was wanting to cover this article here today that says that there was a building in Chechnya It's a Chechnya high-rise that burned for 29 hours with no collapse, which...
Wow. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I see it
now. If you look at, compare that in contrast to Building 7, which burned for about 7 hours, allegedly, and then fell upon itself, if you look at the pictures, that you will see that the thing is still burning. There hasn't been a complete demolition that fell into itself.
Yeah, so I'm looking at that,
So the thing is that Building 7 was much larger than this high-rise. So Building 7 could have probably burned for two straight days without seeing it collapse upon itself. Maybe more, who knows? I'm not a fire expert.
Yeah, I was looking at that, Well, maybe I can, the next time we have a meeting or something, I can share this information with your Freedomizer Radio business page administrator and, getting it in shape, but I don't know, But anyway,
hey, if you and Sarah were able to give us a boost on there, that would be, like, the most awesome thing ever.
I haven't talked to her in a couple of days, but I saw her at the social media class last Tuesday. And she's just been wearing all this stuff out in
that. We have Freedomizer listeners, and with you being a host with us, that actually meet each other. We've had a couple marriages out of Freedomizer Radio. It's just been really weird. It's been pretty cool, though, over the last 4.5 years.
Yeah. But anyway,
what do you think about the... Go ahead.
What do you think about that Malaysian plane? Isn't that creepy?
Someone was mentioning on my spy book about how they believe that aliens took the plane. And I commented, I said that the aliens taking the plane is more believable than two Iran terrorists taking over the plane when the cockpit is locked.
That's a strange
Yeah, they were able
to find two fake Iranian passports, which is very strange to me. And once they said that, 9/11 just went off right in my head about how they weren't able to find black boxes immediately, but they found two fake passports that had no burn on them whatsoever. But
thank you.
Yeah.
I found that really weird. So why are they discussing the fact that there were two Iranian fake passports, which has nothing to do with anything?
Unless they were
trying to plant some evidence of some kind.
Thank you, Bruce.
Yeah.
Thank you. I mean, come on, this is a Boeing. Boeing is made very well. So we know there should have been
a black box. Well, the thing is that there's 6 or 7 different safeguards. So if the black box doesn't have any acknowledgement, there's other things in check.
That's right.
Yeah.
So what's your opinion? Am I way off?
You know what? Just the crazy thought I had was, I said I put this on Twitter. I said that maybe there was a terrorist attempt and the aliens intervened and they opened a wormhole. And so everybody's safe in the parallel universe.
Still more believable than Iran terrorists.
Yeah. But they're doing an all kind of smear campaign on the one of the pilots because he had a history of, entertaining women in the cockpit. And so they're trying to smear him, And the last I heard that they say now that they think it might have flown over the Indian Ocean before it disappeared. Let's go, what?
Yeah, I'm not quite understanding that one either.
Mm-hmm. But it's got me intrigued because it's really funny how it disappeared and there's all this technology and they can't find a trace of it. And, in China, I said, oh, look, we got some satellite photos, but they were 3 days after the fact,
Yeah, lots of speculation.
Yeah.
So I really don't know what to say about this. But we'll find out eventually.
Trying not to say too much because I don't want to put any more into it. For all I know, it could realistically be a plane failure. I'm not sold on that, but I'm not until we have any kind of evidence whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to come out and support that idea when I could look like a loon.
I can dig it. So that's all we can do is wait and see what outcome.
I lean that direction, but I'm not coming out with anything because I have just as little evidence as everybody else.
Right. Yeah, I can dig it.
So, Ron, how do you like the new TimePod?
It's good. It's gonna take me a while to get used to it, and you know, my guest thing is gonna have to change because of the time zones a little bit. But I've got some ideas. I want to get my friend Rick Timmons, who runs E-Unit in the UK, he does kind of like a Freedomizer for Europe. And
okay.
I want to get a hold of him. He's called me a couple times on Skype asking me advice. And I'm thinking about what I'm doing is call him sometime during the day on my day off early and doing having an interview with him, recording it, like, you know, get his take on the Ukraine or something for maybe 30 or 45 minutes recording it, and then running it on my show as part of my show. Since, you know, at 6 o'clock in the evening here, it's 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, where he's at. But when I had my show at 10 to 12, I had him on one time live. But I think I called him up and setting up a interview so I could record it and then run it and letting people hear Rick's take on the stuff in the Ukraine and some of the things we talk about.
All right. Well,
he's trying to get on
GCN.
Cool.
So have you put anything on that new feed yet, or are you testing it out right now?
No, I'm not tweeting right now, but I was just calling to kind of check in and tell you about it. I made a few changes to it so we can maybe make it more relevant, you know, and get some more followers.
Okay.
Because
well,
the
list
of public.
Cool, so, and obviously, the more work that we put into it as a whole, the more successful it's going to be. So. I definitely appreciate the help on that.
Yeah. The lists are public, so anybody that goes to our Twitter feed can subscribe to those lists, and I think that winds up, and they'll be following us. So that'll
okay.
all be good. Yeah.
Well, there are people out there that would like to be part of our Twitter army, so can you tell everybody how they can access us on Twitter?
Yeah, it's is it at Freedomizer Radio, isn't it? The at symbol?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, that's it. Yeah, it's at Freedomizer Show is what we use, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'll get that out there. And I've been putting that hashtag Freedomizer Radio on some of the posts, too.
Excellent. Yeah, I started doing that. I don't know much about hashtags, so not having a cell phone by choice, I don't really understand the need for hashtags. I don't know if people actually go online and hashtag anything that we do. I don't know if people scour the internet looking for hashtag Freedomizer. I'm not saying they don't. I'm just saying I'm ignorant to it.
Well, like I say, I'm just going to make use of it because it is a feature of Twitter, you know.
Right.
And try to expand on it a little bit. Well, anyway, I'm going to get out here, Proof. I got to get up at 4:30 tomorrow morning, and I just want to check in.
All right. Well, thank you, Ron. Great news.
All right.
Great.
Bye.
Thank you. All right. So, Terrell, did you have any articles that you wanted to go into today, or do you want me to start?
Yeah, you can start. I can find what I have.
All right. I don't know if you caught this in the news. Let me drop a link on our freedomizerradio.com website. The chat room, of course, powered by bark.com. Anyway, from the Washington Examiner, John Kerry says Russia has until Monday to reverse course in the Ukraine.
Oh, Lord. Him and his look. He needs to just hush because Russia doesn't care anything, or the Ukraine doesn't care anything about what we have to say. So they're little threats.
So,
one
of my spy book friends, Leanne King, writes on here, what are we going to do, Drip Pines catch up on them? Kerry will travel to London for a Friday night meeting with Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov ahead of a Sunday referendum vote in the Crimea region to secede from the Ukraine and join the Russian Federation. U.S. and European officials argue that Moscow is orchestrating the referendum and waging an intimidation campaign with thousands of Russian troops controlling the region. So if they go through the Sunday referendum, Kerry said the U.S. and its European allies will not recognize it as legitimate under international law. They're trying to impose sanctions on Russia. But honestly, I don't know what sanctions are they going to have. I know some of the sanctions we have in Iran that the U.S. will not ship them iPods. If that's the type of sanctions that they need, like, okay, no Verizon cell phones for you. I don't know if that's exactly going to work in Russia.
It's not. Anything they try is not going to work, it seems, in Russia. They are going to do what they want to do. And, you know, I don't know how much help. Well, we did give a lot of money that we don't even have to Ukraine as well as Egypt. I mean, it seems that we just want to help those who don't care anything about us.
Well, yeah, we just pledged $1 billion to the Ukraine.
Yeah, but yet we're broke. Where's it coming from? It's out of thin air. Oh, wow, he's still out there in the White House lawn and money off of trees. Yeah, we just have so much money to give. Have met so many homeless vets and homeless people over here and hungry children, but we give money to countries that hate us. Come on. This is just something that's globalistic and evil and... So it's nothing that anyone will really ever understand. But this with Kerry, I don't think it's going to make a difference with them. It hasn't thus far.
And my thought here is what sanctions that make sense are going to help here. Because whatever we're not willing to give them, China can give them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. We'll see what he thinks of. I'm sure he has something. Why, sure, we'll have to see what he threatens them with this time.
Yeah, I really don't know what else. What else can we do to scare Russia and China? I don't know. Do we really? We're not in a position anyway to shake China around, because all they're going to do is say, okay, pay our debt.
Yeah. And, I mean, we're shrinking our military to use lasers now, and I'm not seeing any sense in that. So how can we threaten anybody? Anybody. We're not willing to bring the Afghanistanis home, but yet they don't want them there. So we have to take care of the fields. We can't make sure we keep our eyes on those and keep the drugs flowing. So who knows? With Kerry, I don't know what he could threaten them with. I can't think of anything either that would persuade them.
You're not going to get free Obamacare?
Man, I don't want anything to do with Obamacare. But my doctor mentioned Obamacare, and I have Humana Gold Plus, and I've always had it. And I saw a lot of it in the commercials about it on television. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, see, something's wrong with this now. They're just advertising Humana way too much. And I've never seen commercials for Humana like that before. And so I guess it's a part of Obamacare, but I don't indulge, because all I do is go and get my refills for my seizure medication, and I ask for my blood and urine test. I tell them when I want it, and I don't take tests that I don't want to take. And I know all this is being written down, you know, every time I refuse a test, because I know it's not necessary. So I'm going to refuse everything they give me. So we can call it Obamacare. They can call it what they want. They are going to boss Carol around. That's something they're not going to do. You're not going to tell me, such as, oh, you have to go for a vision test because your insurance says that you have to do this. Oh, really? Well, I know how well my eyes are, and I will tell my insurance when I need to go. Don't tell me. Don't, because now it sounds like a small threat. Just a small threat that if you don't go do this preventive stuff, we're going to what? See? And so I told him, I said, I'll fire them. Oh, don't do that, because then if you go to the hospital, who said I was going to the hospital? Yes, I'm a blessed person. You can't even talk that trash to Terrell. And he ought to know better than that. So Obamacare doesn't really affect me, because I take care of myself. And I'm not going to let Obamacare boss me around. I don't care what's in it. People have to do. I know right now my dad has to go for surgery. It's probably testicular prostate problems there. But I think he has had diabetes. So that gives him the erectile problems. And I think he took some sort of medication for it and just didn't want to tell me. But I think that's an area he's having surgery on now. And I think it's because of a medication to help you with your testosterone level and so forth. And so he does what his doctor tells him to do, is what my meaning is. And I don't do that. And I told him, I don't do what my doctor tells me to do. He's, well, I do everything my doctor tells me. Okay. Okay, fine. Yeah, you're one that he loves to see coming. Yeah, so I you know, you can't tell people anything like that. He's 87 years old. Okay, fine. Now, at this age, you got to have this type of surgery, really. Okay. And he went through so many tests just to tell him this. He said it was his heart. His wife is saying something else. But we'll find out, because either one could affect your heart. So I knew, I saw I was looking up the rock and roll lyrics like I do every now and then to see what they're saying. And one was a young group that was talking about how the testosterone medicine was poison for men. I'll never forget that. And I was thinking, oh, my goodness, look at all this stuff that's coming out. And they're telling you in the music what it is. And so, you know, a lot of people, they just listen to it for entertainment, but it's really telling you what's going on in this world. So it's just Obamacare, it covers a lot of stuff, and we'll find out as time goes on what's really in it, because people will start coming out talking about it. But, you know, when they go for, of course, with the chip thing, which they keep pushing back, they better keep pushing it back. Nobody's going for that. You paid billions of dollars for taxpayers' money to put these machines in the hospitals and kiosks and everywhere else, and no one's getting the chip. That's not convenient for me. You have my information on the computer already, so what do you need? Why should I have the chip?
I'm just waiting for more hospitals to have the RFID readers.
Yeah, the ones here, I know I already have them. They asked me when I went to put my hand underneath, and I'm wondering, what do you want me to put my hand under here for? And I saw a red light come on. And he's like, well, you've never been here before. I said, baby, you better look in those records, because I've been here many times for surgery. So you better look again. See, I know I don't have one of those. Oh, I just figured it out. See, I don't know. Yeah, he thought I had one of those. Put your hand under here. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, they got the all-seeing eye everywhere, the Egyptian eye everywhere. I mean, all through the emergency room. It's all the doors. I told my doctor, he's like, I've never seen that there. Oh, you try me like that. Don't even lie to me like that. That's the hospital you work out of. You go to see patients there every day. Oh, don't you lie to me like that. Act like you don't see those all-seeing eyes everywhere. Come on. That's the hospital. I told him I'll die before I go to that one. So he tells me, well, go to this other one. I said, yeah, I'll go there anyway. If I need to go, I'll go there anyway. But if I see eyes there, I'm, you know. But don't pretend you don't see this kind of stuff going on. And it's happening everywhere. You know, I believe every hospital ended up having it. And this was a Catholic hospital, a hospital that was free, that gave free hospital care. And I don't know if they still do that.
Okay. Well, I did want to get into some other news here. And this is local here, and let me drop this. It's Newsiosity, and this has to do with something here in Las Vegas. The cops shot a 20-year-old who was standing near Red Rock Canyon National Conservation Area. He was calling out to passing cyclists, and two of the cyclists reported him to the visitor center, and the rangers soon came to investigate. Rangers stopped traffic and spent a few minutes seemingly at an impasse in the middle of the street with this guy. The discussion between the two confused onlookers inside a car can be heard on a cell phone as they wonder why the officers just didn't grab him or cuff him and be done with it.
Wow.
So
happy.
What they did was they just, the officers swarmed him and he was in a police car. Officers swarmed him and tried to pull him out of the car again. And suddenly, the trooper backed up and one fired 9 shots right into him.
Wow. Ooh, boy. Family's going to sue them. That's a long suit. What is going on? This is trigger happy. Just
right, and this is just normally what they would do is take him in and try and figure it out later. They might get him on a disturbing the peace because they don't really know what this guy was doing.
Still 9 rounds. This is ridiculous. This, wow. Huh. That's too much.
He was talking smack to a couple of bicyclists that passed him.
Okay. He may have been
and
on some
so
drugs.
What happened was the two bikers didn't like his mouth, so they called the Rangers on him.
Knowing what the Rangers probably would do. Probably knew what they would do.
Well, no, they just figured they would get this guy off the road. They were probably trying to do the right thing. It's not the cyclist's fault that who knows what they said. He could have just sat there spewing racist rhetoric or just cursing at guys or being threatening. We don't know. So they did the right thing, I guess, and went to the Rangers and the Highway Patrol busts out the 9 caps.
Yeah, they could have since they were riding bicycles, they could have kept riding right on riding. Yeah.
But in any event, the death by cop is not the correct punishment for cursing out some bicyclist.
I don't get it. Well, you got some good and bad. It's a mixed bag of the police department and all the sheriff and all of that. So you got those that use discretion, and you got those that just use aggression without thinking. You're impulsive, not knowing they can be sued half to death. You'd be working the rest of your life to pay this person's family. I think they need to screen more of their policemen, ask different questions than they're asking, or maybe they're asking certain questions and want these type of people on the street. I don't know, but I'm sorry about that. Wow. You got people on so much medication, if they're off that medication, they go off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a type of thing like that. I know my brother, my husband had to save my brother from 3 guys about to tear his tail up because he's off his medication, he's drinking, and he's telling us these 3 guys are looking at him. So what? Oh, they're looking at me. He getting ready to start some stuff with these 3 people. He has a switchblade, you know, like one I wanted so badly. He ended up going to jail for it. But that's the stuff that, you know, is out there. You got people that want to drink, and they can't drink and take their medication because it probably makes them sick. So a lot of them want to drink, and they end up, I don't know where he is right now. I pray for him. I mean, him and all the others are out there that are on medications that cause them to lose it when they're not on it. You know, it's terrible. That's a terrible type of withdrawal if you get aggressive and you get paranoid and, you know, thinking someone's looking at you, you get killed that way. You know, there's too many drugs out there, too many people on drugs, willing to take drugs to what? Phase out? So you still have the same problems. Those problems are right there in your face. As soon as you come out of that haze or that funk or drug, whatever fog you're in, from taking this medication, I don't approve taking medication at all, really. I don't want to take the seizure medication, and I barely take it until I feel like I need to take it. Now, I know pain will cause it, so when I'm in pain, I know I have to take it. But I refuse. I just don't like it. It's poison. It's no cure. There's cures, yes, but you don't have the money for it. So I just, you know, I just, but Bear has been out forever. Take a Bear. That's nice. I like what's tried and true. I tell my doctor, give me something 20 to 25, 30 years old. Oh, you know, you don't need, don't tell me. Look, I know what works. If you still got it, what worked 25, 30 years ago, that's what I want. Prescribe that for me. I mean that. That goes for any type of medication. That goes from antibiotics to pain medicine. You know, give me what worked years ago. Don't give me this new stuff coming out. There's too many problems with it. And I think it's on purpose. Oh, you lie about your test. You manipulate the data. So what can we believe about these new medications that are out? And it seems there's one or two or three or four out a week.
Well, let me bring up another article here, since both of us are originally from New York. You are originally from New York, right?
Oh, yeah, Brooklyn.
All right, just making sure, because I didn't want to speak in out of tune here.
That's why we get along
anyway,
so well.
What's that?
That's why we get along so well. I
told
Minister
that.
I get along better with you than I do with Minister.
Well, flattery gets you everywhere around here. You know that.
It's just the truth. Really, I do get along better with those from the North.
Hey, once I hear that you start liking these smoothies I was sending you, the ingredients for, then I know we get along perfect.
Well, I got the lemons, and I haven't got the limes yet, but I have everything else. I got it the limes.
Okay.
I really hate to taste this one, so I'm going to have to put some sugar, truly, in that lime. But I got to get limes. We got a fresh market down the street from me, so.
What about
the
kale?
The kale, I have that. I wouldn't have that today.
Okay, so you have the kale, you have the ginger.
Yes, got the ginger. So it's fresh ginger, right? Because I wouldn't got fresh ginger.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, see, I think you're doing good already. I think.
Yeah. I didn't want to. I looked at the other ginger, but I thought it would be better for the fresh, everything to be fresh. I thought that's how you do it. So, yeah, I'm going to try it on my granddaughter, too.
Well, see, you can probably do this over the weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. We're going to have fun with the blender. We're going to have fun. I got a food processor, too. Oh, man, please. I'll mess around and make her some good. It'll be like an applesauce type thing. Let's see how she likes that. She'll be my guinea pig, and I'll eat right along with her. So we'll smoothie it out.
And see, you got the basic ones. And honestly, whatever other fruit or vegetable you want to throw in there at that point, it's not going to hurt anything.
Yeah. I remember the apple part. When my granddaughter loves apples, I had to go and get apple, grapes, and strawberries for her today to make sure she has all her fruit. So she likes the pineapple. So I can throw some of that in there, too. So I got that so I can add that as well. Yeah, I'm going to have fun this weekend. She's going to be here with me for a while, but my daughter will be gone. She could use your smoothie for losing weight. Now, being in the Navy, I don't understand how she gains the weight, being that they make her run like I don't know what. With PT training, but she's kind of, I'll have to see when she gets here, and then I'll have to get a recipe from you for her.
Well, the most important thing in the beginning, though, is as long as she's physically fit.
Yeah, she runs. She's got those hard thighs that I don't understand. I'm thinking, how can a man want thighs that hard? Give me strength. They make that girl run, and she likes to run anyway. And then she goes to these Zumba classes.
Well, here's what you do, because you have to, and I'm not I am a subject matter expert, but I'm not an A-plus certified anything in regards to this. I'm just a guy that lost 65 pounds. But if you go online and say what fruits and vegetables are good for weight loss, and you might come up with a different website than I did. I used mangoes, grapes.
Okay.
Any kind of pepper, preferably bell peppers that are red, yellow, or orange. The greens are okay, but the other ones all have more vitamins.
I got a pepper.
And if you could even sprinkle in just a pinch of a raw jalapeno, and I promise you, if you just use a little bit, you're not going to taste it. Obviously, if you want spicy, you put more in.
Oh, I love the cayenne, and I love I got crushed red.
But that's that stuff attacks the metabolism, which gets the ball rolling.
She'll eat some spicy stuff. I forget being that, once they leave your house, you don't know what they eat. But I have a bell pepper bush growing. I took bell peppers off last year, and I got more blooms coming now, and they were different colors on one bush. I had yellow, green, and red on one bush. So it's just beautiful.
Okay.
I got more blooms coming, and so I got my collard greens growing. I would love to get my yams or sweet potatoes growing, but they're like a vine going across the yard. They just snake everywhere, and they even mess me up, especially the watermelons. That messed me up, too, because the vines everywhere. So
okay.
I don't know about that this time, but a compost heap I want to make, and, you know, throw the honey, do melon seeds in there and cantaloupe seeds and try to grow my own stuff like that as well. I've seen it done, and, you know, you make your own boxes, and I've seen it done, and I like it raised up off the ground. I like that idea. The backyard.
Hey, let me ask you this, because mint is one of the easiest things I hear to grow. Do you eat fresh mint, or do you use mint at all?
What's that?
Mint, fresh mint.
Oh, no, I haven't tried that. That I have. I've looked at it, and I just looked at it today in the store, and I just moved away from it because I have never tried it for anything. I don't know what to try it.
Can I
with.
Give you an easy dinner recipe right now?
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. Let me. I got my pad here. I'm always ready.
I use mint for almost anything here. I throw mint in milkshakes, lemonade. I, of course, use it in smoothies.
Milkshake. Okay. So fresh.
And what I will do is I will take some beef, and obviously I use the all-natural stuff that you get at Sprouts or Whole Paycheck, et cetera. I don't
okay.
use cheap stuff, but
okay.
whatever you have, I guess. I
okay.
use fresh mint, fresh basil,
okay.
green onions,
okay,
and a little bit of teriyaki sauce. And I use one ingredient called sriracha. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's a big Asian kind of sauce now. It's like Asian sweet chili sauce that, don't worry about the spicy. My kids ate it when they were 5 years old, and they never complained. So I use a five-year-old as a good guide to say that you can make it as spicy as you want. So just a few drops. You mix it all together. You pan fry the ground beef and just throw the ingredients in. And if you want to throw peppers, like green peppers or whatever, you can. But I just it's like a Thai style beef.
Ooh, see, I got boy. She's bringing a friend. My daughter's bringing a friend. They are gonna be the guinea pigs this week. Lab rat.
So
it's
just like browning ground beef. It should take anywhere from, what, 5 to 8 minutes, I guess, for a pound and a half of ground beef. You can use that as an appetizer. You can use the meat as a spaghetti sauce where you put the meat in the sauce. You can use it in burritos if you want. Or I just eat it sometimes if I'm going low carb, I'll just eat that.
See, I want to make meatballs. Diggle, I make big meatballs, so you only need like 3 or 4 on your plate.
You can
I hate
do that, too. It's very versatile.
Yeah. that's what I'm thinking about doing with this here, making some pasta with this, not just spaghetti, but the other kinds of pasta. I love them all. Oh, my goodness.
Well, one of my
wow.
things that I like to do personally, though, is I got tired of my wife paying $8.99 a pound at Sprouts for all natural chicken breast when you can get them for $1.99 a pound at the local stores when they're on sale.
Yeah.
And
that,
so
I
what
that.
I do is I'll marinate it in teriyaki sauce, and I'll throw, of course, the salt and pepper and some other seasonings based on my mood. Let it marinate for a day and just put it at 300 degrees for an hour. Take it out and just slice it up thin, and you have sandwich meat. So instead of paying $9 a pound, you're paying $2 plus whatever other spices you have around.
Yeah, I got a good sale on on meat and at the butcher shop, the meat, the beef has gone up. I mean, talking about hyperinflation, my goodness, they have the bacon wrap filet mignon, and it has gone up per pound. And that is, I don't care. God provides. I'm like this. God provides. He's limitless. So am I. I don't even have a budget. I've tried to have a budget, and it just never worked. So I thought,
well,
okay,
look,
fine.
I found this to be weird at the local place that I get meat at, that the London broil was on sale for $2.99 a pound. 80/20 ground beef was $3.99 a pound.
I need to come live where you are. Yes.
I want to know why it is that London broil is a dollar less a pound than chopped meat.
Yeah, really. I don't know, maybe
because all you need is a grinder and you just saved yourself some money.
True.
You ever make your own beef jerky, Terrell?
No. I'm waiting until I get some false teeth to do so I can really enjoy it. I can't wait to get. I just want to do it. I can't wait to get false teeth. I can't wait because there's so much stuff that I want to eat. I'll probably get fat because there's taffy and there's baby roots and oh my goodness, there's almonds and cashews and all this kind of stuff. Oh my God, I'm about to get upset.
Yeah, I don't eat that. I eat cashews, but yeah, I don't eat the commercialized chocolate. I suppose.
Woo! I don't eat chocolate either, but boy, that baby roots. I like the nougat. Ooh, and I like roasted peanuts and things that I just can't eat right now. And it's not been that long, but still. So, you know, I had to go ahead and get the dental insurance, which I thought I had paying as much as I am. But I had to get that. So I got that, not with me looking at you. You're not going to hurt me, and I'm looking at you now. That's crazy. That's just crazy. Plus, I go, you know, I have seizures, and they keep pulling. And they don't care about you being in a seizure. My husband had to stop the last dentist. It was horrifying. So I would never go back. So now the next tooth pain, they're all coming out. They're all coming out. I'll just be sounding funny to you on air for a minute. Oh, but hey, you know I'm not vain, but women have to have their teeth in their mouth, and I have my teeth right now, but they got to go. I want them gone because I don't want problems.
No, obviously I'm 41 years old. I still have all of my teeth except for one in the very back that I have half of right now because it cracked about 6 months ago or about a year ago, I guess.
Yeah, I just started having problems. My front teeth are hard to floss in between, so now I'm starting to see where they're starting to go bad in between the teeth where I couldn't floss. They were too tightly together. That was a problem there. So now I say, okay, all right, see, now I got to go to yanking them all out, but no problem. See, they want to charge you, we'll have to charge you $800 to put you to sleep. Fine. Look, just put me near to death and go ahead and take the teeth and let's just be done with it. You know, I walk into the hospital and I kind of don't mean to be demanding, but I've been in the field and I know what you're after and know what you're doing and so I'm just going to tell you what's going to go on, and let's get it done. I'm paying the insurance for it. Let's go ahead and get it done. And I still have to pay when I go in the emergency room, $65. Either that or they'll bill me. $25, and it's more over 5 miles for the ambulance. You're going to be charged for everything. Oh, yeah. And plus Florida is one of those states that want to take parts of the Constitution out. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I heard it on the news. I'm thinking, oh, no, not Florida. No, you're trying to take part of this. Are they serious? You really think this is, well, I don't want to ask that question. Do you think this is going to work? Because I believe it will work. The parts of the Constitution they don't like, I believe they will eventually get it taken out. So.
All right. So, what other articles do you have, or what's next on the agenda?
Well, I have I had stores that were going out of business because of the economy, and we have retail stores and places like I don't know, I've never heard of Build-A-Bear, but that's one. Macy's and Target and mortgage companies, of course, if you aren't getting any mortgage apps, and you're getting rid of other people losing their jobs. And I'm thinking the Fed can make up any number for the GDP or GOP that they want. They just going back and forth using the same things they did in the past, like a 1929, to manipulate the numbers. You know, they're going back and forth. They're not doing anything different. Nothing's going on different. And in 2008, banks were bailed out, you know, as a stimulation to the economy. And nothing happened. You know, all of this was for infrastructure, and all of this was to help do this and help on defense and all this. And it was all a lie, you know, and we were all just, and people are still sleeping and thinking they have security and thinking, oh, wow, fire truck just went by the house. Well, they're going to be charged over and over. But it's just no way out, it seems. You know, they're lying. They're talking about the climate change. Earlier, the young man that was on was talking about climate change, and they're wanting to lie about climate change. Is as far as people spending money, that's not true. If you're lying about the climate change, that has nothing to do with people spending money. It has to do with them having the money to spend. Because people, mm-hmm. when they have money, they spend money, you know. So climate is not working. We have Duffy, of the CEO, working with the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. He hid $8 billion of slush fund money, and it was just sitting on it, and locked customers out of their accounts for as long as a week and not allowing them to liquidate their assets. And I mean, MF Global and John Corzine, they're all in it.
Son just mysteriously died yesterday.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he was 31. Oh. And I really don't know what he was involved in.
Wow. See, I'm not going to say another sacrifice unless this man gets a lot of lot of money. I'll find out. If he gets a lot more money or he moves up in any way, I'll know that he got some kind of boost, you know. But sometimes they got to take their own out to move up. I don't want to go there. I don't want to even think about that. I'm sorry. Concerning that. That's horrible. The evil will slay the wicked, and we're going to get to see a whole lot more of this because, of course, the elite want to take out 1,200 more people. But they seem to be taking themselves out before they can get to them, or they're programming them to do this. But a lot of them, they say that they're taking out are the ones that are in algorithms, the Department of Algorithms and Derivatives, those that know about what they have been doing. And I suppose, I guess, they'll tell, so they're taking them out. But, you know, the entire purpose of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange was to stand in the middle of all future transactions and futures and be just like a de facto counterparty and guarantor. So this client A doesn't have to worry about client B worthiness. So they're all failing. It's all failing. It's coming out in the open. You have people that are starting to talk, and I'm so glad about that. You know, they hesitate to tell us the truth because it's so bad. You know, and it's a threat to them for us to know the truth and for us to be properly informed to even vote with any sort of confidence in anybody that's up there. You know, that goes for any court or any legislature, anybody that's running, senators and all of that. How do you know who's running, what, and who's good enough to run? You know, so, wow.
You know, we never got into this article here when we were talking about New York, and I have a couple of articles I want to get into.
Okay,
the Chinese are spending billions constructing a 600-acre China city right in New York State. The Chinese have made trillions of dollars flooding our shores with super cheap products, and now they are using some of that money to buy land and property all over America. For example, there's a proposal to construct a multi-billion-dollar China city that would be about 600 acres in a remote area of New York State. This China city would be located in Yankee Lake in Sullivan County. These plans anticipate large numbers of Chinese businesses, plenty of homes for Chinese immigrants, a Chinese high school, a college, a casino, and even a theme park. And the first 600 acres is only for phase one. Ultimately, the goal is for China City to cover more than 2,000 acres. Those promoting the plan say it will be a great way for New Yorkers to learn to appreciate the Chinese culture.
No. Translation. We're being taken over by a tongue who's, that we don't know. Yes, translation.
Yeah, translation. We're broke, and China wants to give us money. Or they're taking that as part of a down payment for what they're
Thank
owed.
Thank you. Thank you. You said that. It's answer right. You got answer A is correct. See, that's all that is. So, I mean, it's stated in the word of God that we will be taken over as by a tongue that we don't know. I mean, and it's true. I don't know Chinese of you, and I'm not trying to learn it. And those
no, I'm not
like
trying
us.
To learn it.
Those people don't like us. That there's no need for us to even think about that. I mean, you let the Islamists over here, money. That's the only reason why they're here. You let them over here for money. They're over here in Temple Terrace, not too far from me. They better calm, baby. Just stay calm, baby. Stay in your neighborhood and stay calm because we're not going to have it like New York. We're not going to have your tails up in the air five times a day, shutting no streets down here. Okay? You got your butt up in the air, and you disrespecting whatever God you serve anyway, putting your behind up in the air. So, you know, so that's, you know, no. That kind of stuff that China's not slick, and I think China knows and we know. And they don't care. We owe them. It'll take it some kind of way.
Hey, I see we have a Skype caller here, so I'm going to go ahead and open the line and see what's going on here. So,
all right.
Anyway, welcome in.
How's it going, Proof? This is Kyle. I just thought I'd Skype in instead
Kyle.
Of using my cell phone.
Oh, that's all
so,
right. Terrell is here with us. I don't know if you've ever spoken to Terrell in Tampa.
I have not. I don't get out of my cave very often, but you know, you guys were speaking about that China thing. I got a third, and this is probably could probably tie into anything that you guys were saying, anyways. But you know, if it comes down to the fact where we're in a situation that all hell breaks loose, and you know, the Patriots and the military kind of co-annihilate each other, assuming that scenario plays out. That would be a pretty good place to stage foreign troops from, you know, being the fact that the East Coast is a pretty large population center.
Well, let me add to that, if I can, Kyle. I covered an article yesterday where the government is giving small cities, and even Hank Johnson, the guy that said that Guam is about to tip over because of overpopulation, even he's saying that this is just way too much.
Yeah.
Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, population just under 16,000.
Wow.
Just got a $700,000 military vehicle, as well as other various military-grade assets for free.
Well, somebody paid for it.
Thank you.
I don't know if I say it's for free, but yeah.
Well, the
you
city
know,
got
guess,
it for free. Of course, we paid for it.
Right. Well, you know, I guess there's two ways to look at it, especially in a small town like that, where everyone knows where it's sitting at. That could be a lot of, you know, if things do go down, that could be a lot of free hardware that we could acquire rather quickly.
Well, I'm looking at it like they won't put this in the major city because it'll make big news. But if they put it in towns that are less than 100,000 and it's off the path, then they're not going to be exposed all that much.
Wow.
Like
yeah,
there's a town out here called Mesquite that's right between St. George and Utah and Las Vegas, and population might be between 15 and 20,000. I could see them throwing one down there because they wouldn't put it in Las Vegas. It'll be all over the news.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you got a point.
Wow.
But find out where that stuff is at. Know where it's at, you know, if anything does go down, just keep an eye on it. I'm not saying do anything naughty.
Yeah, that would be like in Florida, Lakeland, Florida, or Baseball City, or Plant City would probably be a bigger one. You'd have Plant City getting one, but Tampa or Orlando wouldn't, although Plant City's between those two cities.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Lakeland, I've actually been to Lakeland before. That's right. Yeah, that's smack dab right in the middle. I mean, staging-wise, that'd be perfect because, you know, you're, what, 2 hours one way or the other, I think. Or an hour and a half or whatever it is, I forget.
All right.
So,
Kyle, I know you had the issue that you wanted to bring up.
Oh, well, sure, yeah, I just thought I'd add into the conversation you guys were having. I guess I don't know what the overall topics you've been.
We've been all over the map after Alan Phillips joined us.
Oh, sure, yeah. Hey, I had him on my show on Sunday. I really enjoyed having him on there. We had a pretty good discussion, so.
Excellent.
But anyways, Proof, me and you, we've talked behind the scenes quite a bit, and I think anybody who's been listening to your show knows kind of generally some of the things you're into. You're into holistic, natural healing, and all these things, and I'm somebody who's, I guess, of a kindred spirit, if you will. I used to be a massage therapist, but I went to school around 2000, 2001. I guess that's maybe where my journey kind of started. I did massage therapy. Our nurse, she was actually into Reiki and all different types of energy touch healing. So, I mean, she really kind of began my perspective to kind of look that way. And ever since then, I've been kind of on a journey looking for various, nutritional ways to heal the body, just all kinds of stuff. It's just been something I've been into for a long time. So, I've been plugging it on my show. There's a company I ran across here recently called Genesis Pure that I just, at face value, there's a lot of stuff I've taken. So I was like, oh, this looks pretty good. There's enough stuff on here that I can get a discount that would be worth my time just to sign up. A lot of stuff that I was paying full retail for. And since I've started taking it, I've really been kind of blown away by the products. And it turns out that the guy that owns the company, his name's Dr. Lindsay Duncan. He's a naturopathic doctor, and he's a formulator. He's been practicing for the last 30 years, and he basically just took everything that he's been formulating for all of his clients, some really well-known people like Anthony Robbins and a lot of high-end athletes, heads of state, people like that go to him. And he basically just took it and said, okay, I'm going to put this into a product line. So he started a company called Genesis Today a little while ago, and that was kind of the, I don't want to say cheapened up version of what Genesis Pure is, and this is what I'm talking about, but it's more like you'll find some of it at health food or at Whole Foods and things like that. But he came out with a company called Genesis Pure, which is more of a direct marketing approach, and this is really his baby. This is really where he's putting a lot of his heart and soul in terms of formulations, because you go buy acai berry, at Whole Foods and it tastes really good, but he makes it to taste good. When you get the acai berry, and this is just an example, when you get the acai berry from Genesis Pure, it's straight acai berry, nothing in it, wild caught, everything. So I've been really as formulation to the least, and I've been plugging on my show genesispure.com/teambaker, but we're going to launch here on the Freedomizer Network genesispure.com/freedomizerhealth, and that isn't live yet, but it will be here whenever me and Proof can get together and kind of collaborate. But we got a commercial cut for it, and this is basically how it works, folks. For anybody who's listening, you can just buy it retail off of Freedomizer's link if you want. But really the best way to do it is you sign up, you get a discount that's at least 25%, and then if you do auto ship, you get 20% back. So if you think of it, it's kind of like a buyer's club for really high-end supplements. Every race has a starting line, and I kind of use this line in the commercial I cut, but it makes sense to me that the whole philosophy is cleanse, balance the body hormonally and the body's pH, and then build the body with nutrition. And basically every product I have fits in one or multiple of those categories, so that way you don't have to sit there and figure out where do I start. You start with the product that's called cleanse, the build, and the go again, which is basically the tip of the spear for their hormonal and pH balancer. So they call that one marriage counselor in a bottle. I've got probably a little more crude name for it, but my wife thinks it's funny, so I guess it's okay. But we'll just leave it at marriage counselor in a bottle for now. Look, I just think they're phenomenal products. I've been taking a lot of supplements for a long time. I go to all the health food stores, and I'm always digging through and picking stuff out. And, you know, these guys have mangosteen. They got colloidal silver. You get like 8 ounces for cheaper than you will at most of the health food stores in a spray bottle. I mean, some of these things I was just looking at, I was like, my God, you would think a direct marketing company would be more expensive, but really some of the stuff you're getting, it's way cheaper. Like the cleanse, 3 people can cleanse off of one bottle, and it's like twice, and it's like $35 if you're set up with a discount. I paid that just for for a one-shot, one cleanse for one person. You know, so the prices, I think, are actually really good when you kind of break everything down. And I've just been personally blown away. I've got a lot of great stories, that I've already gotten. I mean, nothing like, I've cured cancer and regrew my arm or anything like that. But, I know a gal that's got MS, and I got her going on the organic sulfur that they have. And, she was having all kinds of weird pain issues that kind of came up with that. I forget the technical term she came up with it, but as soon as she started taking that, she's like, I've taken MSM before and it never really seemed to do anything. It was like, this stuff works, so it's really great products, straightforward philosophy, cleanse, balance, build, genesispure.com/freedomizerhealth. Maybe I can get on, after we get everything going proof, maybe I can get on a show and we can really kind of, break down some of the ins and outs of some of the various things. I could probably go on about it. I really think the products are great. And they don't all taste great. Some of them are delicious, but, if we're talking about health here, not everything's going to taste good. So,
all right.
So yeah.
I know that Terrell is new to the smoothie scene.
Yeah.
And so I was trying to give her some ideas.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, yeah.
Gotta try it, too. Sounds good.
Yeah, I know you've came up with a few concoctions, Proof. I guess,
you're Skyping.
Sometime. All right, am I cutting out?
Yeah, but keep going.
Okay, well, I'll start over again. I was going to say maybe... And maybe you've already done this, so maybe I'm already beating a dead horse here, but I was going to say maybe you should have a show here one of these days where you kind of have, some of your favorite recipes that you've come up with, because I know you've dropped some weight and stuff. Maybe just have a health special extravaganza or something like that, and, you could say, hey, this is what I've done. Because I'd be interested in some of the things you came up with. I know you rattled off a few of those to me before, hear it once, you're not going to remember it, but...
That would be good. If there's anything to keep the doctor away.
Yeah.
But I do have to agree, though, that it is hard to get people to try fruits and vegetables they've never heard of.
Oh, you want me to get what? Like
if I told Terrell to put a couple radishes in her smoothie, I'm sure she would take her high heel off and bounce me on the head with it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, radishes, no. Tried growing them once, but I didn't see the point because I knew I wasn't going to eat them. I tried them in salads, though. They're not bad in salads.
As long as you got a lot of ranch.
It's got something on it, but it's not bad in salad.
But and I learned this from the Life Regenerator on YouTube, that if you have a lot of mucus in your system, you eat daikon, or you can eat radishes too, but daikon is part of the radish family. It's just stronger. And you mix daikon with fresh dill. You can get dill for $1 in the herb section of your favorite grocery store.
Yeah.
And and just eat them together like a sandwich, and within 2 or 3 days, your mucus buildup is gone. It just burns it out.
Really? Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, that'd be good for my allergies.
Yeah, so those of you smokers out there that are trying to clean your lungs, that would be one way to do it.
I try to e-cigarette, and it works. It works. I haven't bought cigarettes. My doctor recommended it. I normally don't do what they do, but I did try it, and it has worked. I have not wanted cigarettes. I haven't bought any. So hopefully I can be done with this as well.
Huh. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard those advertised before. I've seen, like, one person use them ever. But, yeah that's, huh.
Oh, yeah.
My wife used to be a smoker. She ended up quitting cold turkey when she found out that she was pregnant. I think it made it easier because I never smoked cigarettes before in my life. I just never did. So it probably would have made it a lot harder on her if I was a smoker myself.
Yep. And kept on smoking, just being around it, yeah. So
yeah.
I like it because my daughter, she can't take it. So she's so much. I know she's happy. And her daughter, of course, she doesn't want me smoking around her. So it's just a vapor. And it goes away. You can't even smell it. So I love it. I've saved so much in the past 3 weeks.
Does it have like nicotine or something in it just to kind of give you
Right. It's oil that you can put in it. It's a menthol. I take a menthol oil since I smoke menthol cigarettes. And
okay.
You can smoke them. And the bottle has lasted me almost a month. And it's a $15 bottle. And it's lasted me almost a month. So far, I'm just about out of the first bottle that I bought a month ago. So the name of it's called Buck Naked. That's the name of it.
Huh.
But it's so far so good. I love it. We've added up the money that we spent, and it would have been close to a couple $100 in cigarettes.
Oh, yeah.
So
what do? You just like... Does it have, like, gradual strength so you kind of reduce down so you can kind of wean off the nicotine while you're getting that sensation of actually smoking?
They have a high. I think they have probably a high, medium, and a low dosage. They have different flavors, coffee and all of that, but I'm not into the flavors. I'm trying to stop smoking, period, you know. So this is great. It lasts. You recharge it. It comes with you have to get the adapter to go in the wall. But it comes with the charger with it. It came with the, I call it a pipe, but it came with the e-cigarette, the oil, and the charger for $30. And so the small bottle of oil lasted 2 weeks. So the bigger bottle of oil lasted, almost a month. So it's really good.
Interesting.
It's worth it to me.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you can get off... off cigarettes, yeah, that's nasty habit. What would you say that was called? I'm gonna slap this on my Facebook here.
It's called Buck Naked. B-U-C-K. Buck Naked. She happened to pick it up.
There
you
go. Buck Naked.
So one of us should try to see if we can get this company on. Have someone as a spokesperson come in and talk about it.
It's good. I know that it really
is.
I never thought it would work for me. I asked to have a neighbor across the street, but I don't see her often, so I didn't get a chance to ask her. But she hasn't bought any since September, and she's been using it since September of last year. So it's not the same brand as mine, but it works for her as well. I would recommend it, not for someone to continue to smoke, but it's a vapor and it just doesn't bother you. Because, of course, I've questioned my doctor. I'm thinking, okay, now is this liquid going in your lungs? And he says no more than someone using a inhaler for asthma. And I found it is, you don't have to. So for instance, I smoke the 100. So I take about 6 puffs. Now, probably 8 or 10 puffs for a whole cigarette. But I take maybe 6 puffs, and that's enough, and I can put it down and not pick it up for a while. Don't even think about a cigarette. I think I've thought about cigarettes about once since I was using this, and since I didn't have any, it was no problem. I just picked this up.
I really can't relate personally, but I know people that had real problems with, you know, really wanting to quit, and it just it's supposed to be a really, really strong addiction. I mean, I can't relate to it. Like, I don't understand it, but
it is.
You know.
I was 16, and I was, so that's over 30 years, and I wish I'd never picked it up. And what started me was the beginning of a cigarette. My mom would light a cigarette. I loved the beginning, the smell of the beginning of a cigarette. Now, the rest of it, I didn't like, but I ended up smoking. And I really hated it, and I just repented about it, asked the Lord for deliverance, and just, you know, I'm cutting down. My husband and I both, he picked it up as well. He went and got one. He watched me and saw how well it worked, and he went and got one. He's cut down as well. So it's just great. So anyone that wants to try it, they can try it for themselves. I've dropped it a couple of times too, so these are glass. I think it's glass and stainless steel, so it hasn't broken at all. It's just been.
So stupid question here, I guess, Kyle, but I have just a couple minutes left here for the night.
Yeah.
Where can people find out about these Genesis Pure stuff that you're talking about?
Oh, yeah. Go back to that. Okay. So. Like I said, whenever me and you can get together here and get that going, it'll be genesispure.com/freedomizerhealth. I double-checked just to make sure that that wasn't taken. But I guess in the meantime, you know, Natural News, if you just go to Natural News and you type in the word Genesis, you'll find articles that Mike Adams, you know, is – talking about Genesis Today, at least, and he's interviewed Dr. Lindsay Duncan, the guy who formulated the products. If you go to like YouTube and you just type in, you know, Genesis Pure testimonials, you'll hear some people that actually had testimonials, you know, just on taking the products. Or if you type in Genesis Pure, I think probably the best video, I think, you know, if you just want to get an overview of the company itself, like how the discount and all that stuff works. I mean, it's pretty much like what I just said, 25% off at least, and then 20% back if you do auto ship.
We'll get more into detail as you get me involved here. So
I think maybe the best thing to do would just be go to YouTube and just type in Dr. Lindsay Duncan, because anything he's done, you know, he's putting his heart and soul into these formulations right here. So if you just type in Genesis Pure Lindsay Duncan, you'll hear his breakdown on some of the products and everything. That might be the best way to learn. Oh, I know one thing.
See, go ahead.
If you have, like, a certain the FDA made them take it down off their main site, but you can still find it. But any, like, weird health condition, if you just type in Genesis Pure health condition PDF, you'll find a PDF likely talking about, like, arthritis or whatever. So,
right, so we have to do the same with doTERRA stuff that we plug as well. So go to doTERRA.com/myhealthtool to learn about essential oils as well. Thank you, Kyle, for joining us on short notice.
No problem.
Thank you, Carol, for the whole
time. You have a great night.
And I'll be back Monday, but next there'll be another show after me, so hold on to the handrail, keep hope alive. Remember, only you can prevent forest fires. I'm proof negative, and I'm out.
Seconds.